Hello, I'm George Takei, and I don't always drink urine, but when I do, I prefer Dos Linsteps. You're listening to Pastor Linsteps, the movement turd.
Look at me, I'm April Gady, horny as a skank can be. I'll gobble your cock if you're an Aryan rock. Sure enough, I'm April Gady. Bump it! Hey, I'm Wigger Swell. Beat my hogs like Buffalo Bill. Slap all them skanks, don't expect me no thanks. Long as I do get my fill. I don't wait, no prayer, don't de-louse you with care. I get full for one blue job. Get your mamzer paws on my silky jaws. You can't pull that crap with a net. As for you, Hal Covington, I know what you don't want done. Don't want pussy crust, I'm no object of lust. I'm just old April Gady. Cozy, let me be. Says keep that boomtang far from me. See, I cool, now I'm starting to drool. Can't forget, I'm April Gady.
Are you making fun of me, Pope Marty?
Some piffle are so fucking touchy.
Recorded live.
Greetings, ogling, wigger, and man's ass clowns across the fruited nut Zog Plain. In the open air, coast nut house, we call Zog Babylon the Third. And the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. This is episode number 157.5 of the Movement Turd. Tonight is the 17th of January, 2013. The time is what, 8:40 or so? More or less Granby, Uncentral, what the fuck, Unstandard Time. And tonight's episode, I decided to call, Are the Turner Diaries Coming True? And I was recently over at Incogman's essentially his WordPress site here, where he has a conspiracy theory against the Jews de jure. And essentially, he went ahead and printed up, excerpts from Chapter 1 of the Turner Diaries, which were written in 1979 and by William Pierce as part of a installment for his racist magazine at the time. This was before he got money. From the Order. And from my gathering, it's not as good a novel as far as character development. But let me just tell you, it has far more of an action plot. It just doesn't end up stopping here. And in the Turner Diaries, it goes ahead and under the Cohen Act, they had gone ahead and, the federal government, Zog Babylon, had done away with the Second Amendment and had illegalized having guns and ammunition. And you have this racist white guy, he gets picked up, and of course he had a revolver, and he gets detected, he spends a week in a sort of a jail, there's 800,000 wiggers, and essentially there's too many to really lock up, so they're turned loose and watched here. And so that gets him more into what is called the Order. And later on you had another order, which was an actual non-fictional order, which was comprised of Christian identity and a number of non-Christian identity people. And I have a great deal of respect for the Order's bravery, its dedication. I don't have very much respect for what it accomplished, because it didn't accomplish anything other than getting people put in jail and giving Order money to such dead ends as William Pierce, but you know, Trader Glenn Miller as well. I mean, none of the order money, as far as I know of, other than just simply giving it to ordinary families to help pay a few bills or something like that here, did anybody any good. But I have a great deal of respect for David Lane, even though he used to be Chris Sandetti, he wasn't anymore, and Robert Matthews, and I have a good deal of respect for their courage, for their honor, for their integrity, but I don't have too much respect for what they accomplished politically, because they didn't really accomplish much of anything politically at all. And that's the doings of the movement. I went ahead, and from what I gather, Axis Sally has came back. She didn't bring back her blog, but from what I gather, she was saying that Harold Covington paid her to do to do her shows or something like that. And she was rather high maintenance. And yes, she is Corina Burke. And to me, it doesn't really matter. It really doesn't. I mean, I've been listening to Harold Covington's podcast, and he's been having them for nearly 3 years now. And I like his podcast. But he is quite annoyed at the fact that within your movement, he says, a handful of people to actually follow his Great Northwest. Now, when he had old Steve, Elder, McFagg, whatever, and McFagg was censoring Covington's right-hand man now, Andy Donner, for saying Brian Real wasn't white. Well, hey, I sort of figured out if you end up letting some people like that get into your movement, you're not going to accomplish it. You can't accomplish anything with bowel movement dysfunctionals and retards and criminals. I mean, heck, I went ahead and ordained a bowel movement dysfunctional. Old Wire Bill Mumpsnut the Clueless. The bastard only lasted 3 days with me. But essentially, I would have done better off by simply going ahead and demanding to know his name and know his history, and then figure out, go ahead and look in Missouri CaseNet and figure out, well, I screwed up. I should have just simply told him to stay in Florissant, Missouri. No, I didn't want anything to do with him. And in any case here, this show as always is to pretty well say is that really trying to build an organization in today's day and age with dysfunctional people, even if they're dedicated, every single one of them has something wrong with him. And the only thing that they have right with them is hatred, is contempt for Zog, for hatred of Jews, and they have hatred for Wiggers, really. And essentially, these people are already sort of screwed up in the head. So, what I'm simply advocating is that for those who are not screwed up in the head, or those who are screwed up in the head, do your own thing. Hate globally, kill locally. And so, I noticed that, Harold Covington had this girl named Olivia, who is a woodchuck who moved back, and essentially she's taking over for Axis Sally, Corina Burt, whatever here. And Joe Adams, my guy, had Jane Crow, and she was Axis Sally, Corina Burt. Same voice here. So, I mean, you might end up having a bunch of bad talk about Harold Covington, and it may be true, it may not. I don't know. It doesn't really matter to me. I have somewhat of a alliance with Covington in that I don't have a problem with people who don't have anything where they're at to move to the Northwest because it is whiter. I don't know if I'd move to Seattle and certainly not to Portland. I wasn't too crazy about Portland. But, no, I mean, moving there, it'd probably work better than moving anywhere else. Not as for myself, though, I mean, shoot, if I had to move anywhere, I'd probably move to South or North Dakota. and pretty well get one of these, buy up one of these old towns about what? You know, well, hey, I might move up and give Corn Cup a run for his money. Or I might try to take over Hayes, South Dakota. It had some fairly good buildings, and it had a big old 5-acre reservoir in South Dakota. And, it's one of these little 30-mile towns here. It's only 8 miles away from my farm. And so it would be useful here. You know what I mean? And essentially buy survival plots here. Go ahead and maybe form a sort of monastery or whatever, a religious commune, for people to get away from it all. And essentially what it boils down to is just simply pay the taxes and, you know, be relatively self-sufficient here. But don't make a big deal of it. But that's pretty well what I'm talking about, is that I don't get disappointed when essentially all these movement organizations, most of them which are already Zog False Fronts anyway, like David Duck and Stormfront and VNNF or Four Fags Feeds or whatever, I don't get too greatly disappointed when they don't amount to anything. They don't accomplish anything. Folks, it's not written in the Bible that a great white nationalist movement is going to overthrow Zog. I don't read anything about it. From chapter 4 in Revelation to chapter 18 to when Zog falls apart finally, financially, because there's nothing else left to steal or to live off of. And then in Revelation chapter 19, the 7 years, three and a half years of bad shit, and then 3.5 years of even worse shit goes on, to where Christ comes back and there is blood up to a horse's bridle in the streets of what remains of humanity and subhumanity. I don't read anything about there being a successful overthrow of Zog Babylon. And folks, unlike most of these movementaries, I'm not going to talk about the revolution starts when Zog kicks in my front door. No, folks, the revolution starts. It started a while back ago. And essentially, you should be already on the side of Yahweh. And you should understand that it's up to you to save your own life and that of your family that you want to bring with you. It's up to you to do that. It's up to you to save your life. It's up to you to ask Yahweh to do so for you. That's who it's up to. Now, as far as going to Northwest here, I don't think it's a bad idea. And I don't think it's a bad idea to go ahead and make new friends that you can sort of maybe rely on, or you have their back too here. But, folks, I don't see any successful, quote, overthrow here. Essentially, Zog is overthrowing itself, which leads me to what is going on today. Now, Wednesday, you had the nigger, and he signed 23 executive orders. They weren't as bad off as what I thought they would be, but essentially I sort of thought that Joe Biden would be blowing a lot of smoke up dumbass Uyghurs' asses about this sort of shit. But what happened immediately? What happened almost immediately was that essentially, first there was this good sheriff here. Oh, by the way, I was listening to Jeremy Visser. He wasn't talking too much shit about me, but the goofy bastard has decided to call himself Amalie Baldwin and write a bitchy complaint onto the front page of the Movement Turtle of the Dick Dick Show, and essentially I went ahead and deleted it. But you're Jeremy, essentially doing his best to cause trouble. Yet Eli James show up. Eli James did its best to whine about how it was censored by the ADL. Well, no, it wasn't censored by the ADL. The ADL was kind enough to essentially give Eli James another audience on RBN by claiming to censor him. His webpage was pathetic. You have a better look at his webpage on you know, archive.org, if you look at the Wayback Machine, than you do when he finally went ahead and got it up together. You know, that's the way things are here. I've seen better compare material on the Library of Congress from Church of True Israel than I have now that Gerald Mosley or something has gone ahead and taken over it. Folks, these Christian identity quote sites are just long false fronts, and this is just simply a melungeon. I mean, I was laughing last night when he was talking about David being a ruddy man. Well, that's one of the ways how Visser justifies being in Christian identity, because he's Cherokee Visser. He's redder than Adam. Ruddier than Red Earth. At least that's what he said on Stumbling when he changed his avatar after he got rid of his main post by saying Elmer's glue works best. So Visser and Obagender Bender are out to cause trouble, and they don't really have much of anybody bothering to their little forums or what have you at all. I mean, you know, he might end up having Lennie O.C. Barcelos, might have a few other little mamsers running around. But essentially, Wikipedia talks to UCI is pretty well a dead issue. Alright, getting to what I want to talk tonight here. Here in Missouri, you have this character called Randy Turner. I call him Cousin Randy Turner because I came up with a cousin to him called Cousin Swole Scump Turner. And he has on the Huffington Post, "The worth of a person can be determined by how he or she responds in times of crisis. After 20 children were murdered in a shooting spree last month at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, the New York legislature quickly took steps to try to stop the gun madness that has enveloped this country. Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a bill Tuesday that places stiff restrictions on assault weapons and magazines. The bill was passed by an overwhelming majority in both houses." That's New York. In Missouri, our elected representatives act in an entirely different manner. As we wait to hear the proposals President Obongo will make today, this was made on Thursday, most likely reinstating the assault weapons ban, restricting magazines, instituting universal background checks, and closing the gun show loophole, 62 of our legislators make it known how they will react to anything the president says or does. Now, there's 62 legislatures in the Missouri House, I think in the Missouri House here. Now, they're coming up with a Missouri Senate bill as well, which pretty well goes with the Missouri House here. Now, you have 163 legislators in the Missouri House, and you have, what, 36 senatorial districts in Missouri. And the answer is that they do not plan to obey any federal law or regulation concerning guns from this point on. Law of the land to Representative Casey Guernsey, Republican Bethany. Now, Bethany is up in northern Missouri. It's a rather small, it's a county seat of a small county. By the way, around in that county is Stanberry, Missouri, which used to be the headquarters of the Church of God Seventh Day. Now I think it's in Georgia somewhere. But anyway, up there, that phrase is a myth. HB 170, which Jersey is sponsoring, corrects that myth. The law of Missouri is the only law that matters. If the federal government disagrees with that, we are in open rebellion. HB 170 calls for the following. It shall be unlawful for any officer or employee of this state or any political subdivision or any federal firearms dealer licensed under 19 U.S.C. Section 923 to enforce or attempt to enforce any law, act, statute, rule, or regulation of the federal government relating to a personal firearm, firearm accessory, or ammunition that is owned or manufactured commercially or privately in the state of Missouri, and that remains exclusively within the boundaries of the state of Missouri. 2. Any official, agent, or employee of the federal government who enforces or attempts to enforce any act, order, law, statute, rule, or regulation of the federal government upon a personal firearm, a firearm accessory, or ammunition is owned or manufactured commercially or privately in the state of Missouri, and that remains exclusively within the borders of the state of Missouri, shall be guilty of a Class D felony, which is 5 years in prison. And it will be a felony to follow federal law. And Missouri taxpayer money will be spent to defend anyone who crosses the federal government, according to the bill. Anyone who disobeys a federal gun law will be able to call on the state's attorney general for help. Guernsey's bill has 61 co-sponsors, including all five who represent the Joplin area of the state where I live. The folks, all five of the local Republicans, because remember, there are 163 in the state of Missouri. Essentially, yeah, that's about, you know, that's about the area here in Jasper and Newton County. Yeah. Following the same principle the state legislatures have used concerning Obamacare, our officials have simply said it doesn't apply to us. Meanwhile, the state takes its own approach to fighting the problem of gun violence in our schools and our society. We have a bill that would require all first graders to take NRA gun safety courses. Another bill would put weapons in the hands of classroom teachers. And the latest file, late last week, would put a tax on violent video games. Anything except address the problem. The message sent to Casey Guernsey Law is clear. This state will do nothing to limit access to the kind of high-powered weapons that no one outside of police or military need. This state has nothing to do to ensure that criminals or those with mental problems have no access to guns. This state will do nothing to close the gun show loophole. This state will do nothing except cross our fingers and hope there is not one of our elementary schools as the next target of a crazed gunman. This brings all new meaning and a horrifying one to the term show me state. Well, folks, Cousin Swole Scump Turner, he says, that's his cousin. See, Cousin Randy and Cousin Swole Scump Turner were cousins in Newtonia together. They were first cousins, and they used to do all sorts of things together, including fuck sheep. And what happens is that one went on to become a exalted cyclops of the local Ku Klux Klan, but Cousin Randy went on to become a glibber wigger butthole fag, and essentially a sort of faggot school teacher. So Cousin Swole said, let's see, the Constitution, the Bill of Goods, is the supreme law of the land. The Second Amendment says that the right of the individual to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And yet this amendment of the Bill of Goods has been infringed upon as the entire Constitution and Bill of Goods. The federal criminal regime does whatever it wants. Let me see, go on here. So then upon a staged pretext in which some misbegotten nutcase kills its mudshark prepper mother and then proceeds to shoot up an elementary school in a place where the gun laws are amongst the most strict, this is seized upon by the parasitic and lawless and self-indulgent as an excuse to disarm the minority lawful and productive people, presumably to enslave or eliminate them under color of law. So given that you lawless and parasitic rabble demand that some critter, not even a citizen, should infringe upon the very basis of constitutional law, that the pretense of obedience enables us all to live together in some sort of peace is now done away with, you are all annoyed that the lawful are simply saying that they shall not obey your new laws anymore, then you degenerate and thieving rabble obey the constitution and Bill of Goods. You should be alarmed. If the productive should seize power or simply refuse to work, the current criminal regime built upon a social and financial house of cards shall not long endure. And since it will not be possible to keep a majority of parasites fed and housed and clothed, even in an open-air, coast-to-coast prison and insane asylum, the guns will come out and there will be a civil war followed by mass killing. All the current silliness in which you parasites and criminals insist that the rest of us obey your laws when you could not obey the social contract of sorts under the Constitution and Bill of Goods means that at first there will be counter laws. But eventually the struggle for power and life will mean that the stronger will prevail And since it's parasites, you cannot produce anything that the productive want. You will all be put down mercilessly. Your kind cannot win because you cannot make us produce enough surplus to provide for you social parasites. If you kill us, then as parasites, you will die upon killing your host. So what now is happening is that you are forcing Missouri sheriffs and Republican politicians to attend disobedience school. You idiots are literally training us to disobey the federal regime, and then circumstances will force us and teach us to kill. Do you idiots really think that since you can't obey the law and then get your criminals to make up new laws, that all of a sudden we will pretend that you can pass a series of laws to disarm us so that you can enslave us and murder us? Why should we do any such thing? Rather, we will soon enough do unto you as you would do unto us. I think that your kind should be driven to the margins and then finished off as soon as possible. Now, from what I gather, that particular comment was allowed. Now, it's probably going to be gone pretty soon by Cousin Randy, but that's what gets me here. You have these people, they're getting so scared, they're getting so whiny, they're getting so needy to where they need to pass a whole bunch of laws upon the law-abiding. Meanwhile, the niggers in Chicago, they're still shooting one another like crazy here. And essentially, they're pretending that because, you know, the niggers can't obey, is that supposedly they ought to be made our policemen. They ought to be made our judges. They ought to be made our rulers. Niggers and Jews and parasites. Like Cousin Randy. He can't obey any law. He is not going to obey the supposed law by which this Kenyan nigger, who is not even a citizen, is so-called president of the United States. So essentially, you cannot obey the Constitution. Why in the world should you get to pretend that once you get enough people at a certain place, that you get to pass new laws over us? Does that mean that we have to obey your laws since you didn't obey our laws? And the answer is no. There's a lot of people who are whining and saying, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. But let's understand something here. The reason that they're going through this shit is because there is a, quote, financial cliff that they're going to fall over again. And in order to pretend that they have any real legitimacy, the House of Representatives is going to have to raise taxes. And what if they refuse? What if they say, we're not going to up the debt ceiling? Are they going to let Obongo print, you know, a $1 trillion platinum coin, however many is necessary? Are they going to go ahead and openly print more money? No one knows. No one knows. But folks, if Zog isn't going to obey any laws, what does that mean that we have to obey Zog? What you see in Missouri, what you see in Wyoming, what you see in Texas, and Missouri is, I think, far more, in its own way, far more counter-extreme or counter-revolutionary, or, you know, revolutionary or counter-revolution, depending on where you stand, than even Wyoming, Texas. They're talking about jailing federal officials who impose, you know, so-called Obongo's law. Folks, let's say they passed a constitutional amendment to disarm white people. Does that mean the white people will obey? Some would not. But folks, let's say they go ahead and kill people like us who produce something. How are they going to live? How are they going to have white people as slaves? And the answer is they're not. See, they're parasites who are stuck in one hell of a dilemma because they can't produce anything that anybody wants. And yet, they don't want to produce themselves. They're not able to produce themselves. So what happens? And the answer is what happens? Collapse here. Now, Harold Covington is 100% right when he says that Zog will fall apart. It will collapse. Everybody and every little warlord will seek to grab whatever it can, you know, he can. And how the white man needs to be able to grab something as well. And I agree, which is why I agree with Harold Covington's Northwest front here. But on the other hand, I don't know if Covington has the muscle or the manpower to do it. But be that as it may here, you know, what I want to go ahead and point out is that I don't see any better way than to teach Whiggers to become disobedient than what is going on right now. And in any case here, I don't know how long I've been yakking here. It's been, 29 minutes. Ain't too bad here. I'm going to go ahead and check the chat, and then I'm going to invite Logan to go ahead and call in about 3 minutes. So, folks, hail victory. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Whigger's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, super ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. I wake up and ride away. The way you come to mind, the way they run to and fro, the ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they went to and fro, and they're always eating drop. Whiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Whiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Whiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop.
Cutting on the roadside, cutting in the ditch. Big dead cutting, you black sound bitch. Daddy was a Klansman, a Southern Democrat. Long white sheets and funny looking hats, singing song, song of the South. Whoop a nigger's ass and burn his house. Gone, go with the wind. Ain't no nigger talking back again.
Hello, Logan. How you doing?
Guess not is 100% Jeremy Visser, and Stephen L. Akins is Obi Genderbender from Australia. And all they do, they're bashing you, calling you a chobo.
Yeah.
They're attacking Frank Lager.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Hold on here.
I mean, basically, all record we were putting out is that Obi and Visser all are a bunch of perverts and liars, and they have no ministry, and basically they're accusing everybody else, all these white men that get up here and teach Yahweh's truth, they're accusing them of having the problem. And basically, that's all they can do because their mom.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, folks, I had gone ahead and screwed up and somehow pressed the wrong button here. So anyway, Logan, you're back here. It looks like guest number 9 wants to go ahead and say its piece here. Would you mind if I went ahead and unmuted guest number 9? Logan, still there?
Well, hold on, guest number 9. Is Visser, and I don't really want to talk to, I mean, if
you, all right, well, let's go ahead and give the TARD 5 minutes, okay?
Well, okay, I'll let you and him talk. I'm not going to say anything.
All right. Hello, guest number 9. Well, Matt. Was pretty well a waste of time, wasn't it?
Well, basically, Visser, I mean, we let him talk for 5 hours on my show, and he lied about everything. He denied that he was a Cherokee, even though he admitted he was a Mongol Cherokee. And basically, he wanted to take up for Obi Genderbender and protect him. And basically, he first comes out trashing the lost book, saying it's all garbage. Then when I told him, you know, I said, well, Copper A said they're all legit. He said, well, the lost books are good, and I'm going to teach them, and there's nothing wrong. I mean, basically, every 5 seconds he contradicted himself, and I'm just not going to waste my time with that. I mean, basically, he called into my show one time and was rapping like a black person. That's another thing. Jeremy doesn't talk like a white man. I mean, talks like...
No, he ain't white. He ain't white. I mean, he got sort of a nigger's... He got a nigger's verbal intelligence. I'll go ahead and listen to him. He was going on and on and on last night, and pretty well he had Eli James, and, you know, I mean... You have more of a mixture between Visser and Eli James. They're both Sephardics, is what they are. They're not Ashkenazi.
Yeah.
They're Sephardic. Visser is a Sephardic. You know, from my gather, Visser's dad, you know, is a Sephardic Jew. You know, he might be a Munch, and his mother is a you know, red nigger of some sort or another, and they're liberal and all this sort of thing, and they had some money, and they, you know, they sent Jeremy to a Lutheran school. When he was 10, he got to where, you know, he couldn't leave the little blonde girls alone, and pretty well this vice principal, you know, this female vice principal saying, Jeremy won't behave himself, you need to dope him up. So they doped old Jeremy, and he took to it. He took to it like a rasta does to a nigger weed. And, you know, after a month or so, Jeremy still couldn't behave himself, so I guess they expelled Jeremy from the Lutheran school here. So his parents have been, since they're not observant Melungeons, but they, you know, preach some sort of Lutheranism, and it didn't matter. And somehow Visser found Christian identity, just like Brian Wright did. And he's evasive as to who actually did ordain him. And he goes ahead and claims Galette here. Well, fine, but Galette is a Zogbot too here. So essentially you go ahead and you look in Christian identity, all you got is just wall-to-wall Mamzers and Jews, which is what Pastor John Britton told me last year, and he was asking me why I was dicking around with this show here. And I pointed out is that it has some usage. You know, it has some usage. I mean, I don't think as much as Covington's Northwest Front is not. You know, this. You know, my writing doesn't depend so much upon the podcast, but does depend on some here. If you look at anybody in the movement, they have to have a blog or a forum, and what they end up having to also do is do a podcast. And soon enough, you might end up having some of them do a YouTube series or videos or what have you, and do that as well here. But, no, I mean, you know, pretty well my ministry is pretty well relaxed to where, you know, I can go ahead and, you know, once I learn a little bit more about Pastor Dewey Buddy Tucker, I can go ahead and have him on a special show where we talk about preexistence here. You and Buddy don't get along too well, and essentially I'm not going to...
Here's the thing with Buddy Tucker. Mm-hmm. He's not going to, even if I believe in reincarnation, I believe Adam was reincarnated as a regular man. The first time God, Yahweh, ever came in a flesh body was as Yeshua, the Messiah. So we're going to always disagree on that. I also think, based on certain scriptures, that you really cannot prove reincarnation. And even if I did believe in reincarnation, I would not believe in the way that he teaches it. And he doesn't believe in free will, and I totally disagree with that. He says he's not two-seed-line identity, even though he was somewhat friends with the guy that... Well, Kyle Ferrari, and then the guy that he went to his funeral and did the eulogy, anyway, RL or whatever, okay, but anyway, he's not too sick, okay, he doesn't believe in free will, and he wants to say that Yahweh God was imperfect, and he had to keep on getting reincarnated until he finally got it right. That's a blasphemy. And on top of that, Martin, I realize he's older than you and I, but Russell Walker said he was very disrespectful to me, and he was, you know, just basically he had the problem, and, you know, I thought he was a blasphemer the first time I interviewed him, but I wasn't going to charge him with it, but he kept on saying I had diarrhea of the mouth and everything, and you know what?
Well, you two got on each other's, you know, nerves here, and, you know, I mean...
It is, Mark. Come on, now. You agree with me more than you agree with Dewey. You believe in a free will and a choice like me.
Well, I don't really believe in preexistence here. I mean, you know, like I've said for the umpteenth time, the first time I heard of preexistence... You know, I heard of it in Mormonism, and I heard of it when I took this world religions class in 2000, but I never heard of anybody, you know, I mean, Herbert Church didn't preach, you know, pre-existence. Didn't, you know, so, in any case, you know, pretty well the first time I heard of it, really, in Christian Identity was when Keith Southworth was bringing it up here. So, in any case, I'll look at the chat, and I found out old Steve Aikens here. Folks, you get to call me a chelmo one time, but essentially, if that's all you're going to do, I mean, you need to go do something else. And so, pretty well, I went ahead and muted old Steve Aikens.
Visser started calling me a chelmo once or twice, but then Obi ran out of brain cells, and he couldn't think of anything else to type, so that's what he fell back on.
Well, it might be Obi. It might be Nimbuster Tard or something like
that.
Here.
Yes, now is definitely Visser.
Yeah,
it
is Visser. Visser gets more and more. Oh, gets more and more frantic. And the reason the critter gets frantic is that it doesn't really have. It's never really had any ability to work or to do anything here other than live off of mommy and daddy. And whenever it gets to some money, all of a sudden, I smell Zog. But in any case, Galette, from my garage, I went ahead and talked to the old guy who used to run the thing, and now they're not wanting to pay Galette some of his money from his trust fund. And he does have a trust fund here, and last I heard it was worth about $500,000. But, you know, it's just like all these things here is that they wouldn't let Galette have it, and Galette got desperate. That's why he plotted to rob banks in Alabama. He got caught drunk as a skunk, and he was guilty as hell, and he was facing 30 years, so he took a plea bargain, and he only got 6. And the other little Anglo-Mestizo tard that was with him got 5 years. You know, Charles Scott Thornton or Scott Charles Thornton or something like that. And essentially, these people are not dangerous as long as you have nothing to do with them. You know, just like Robert Flynn said way back on FAEM, he said 75% of the population, you know, 75% of the population in the Zogland is harmless as long as you have enough sense not to have anything to do with them. And on this show, I don't urge you to go out and shoot anybody or kill anybody. I just urge you to get the hell away from a lot of these people. Not have anything to do with them. What does Eli James have to give you? I mean, shoot, if you're a Mamzer or a Melungeon or something like that, why, he says that he's better than Sink. He's not, you know, Yahweh isn't going to resurrect you up and then, you know, burn you in hell forever ever and ever and ever. Whereas Fink, you know, Fink goes ahead. Here he has all these Mamzers pretend to be white, like Brian Rio. He says that Yahweh is going to resurrect all these beasts of the field and judge them and send them to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. And I point out is that they're both two sides of the same base metal coin, in that non-whites, by definition, Christian identity, do not have a soul. Therefore, they don't have any covenant with Yahweh. They don't have any, you know, they're not under any law, and therefore they're not going to be judged because they don't have a soul to judge, and they're not under the law. They're just animals. You know what I mean? That's why they're called beasts of the field. You know what I mean? And as far, you know, morally, they have as much standing as...
Okay, even if you want to differentiate, like, the Jews are the spawn of Satan, they're total mongrel devils, and I don't count any other mongrels as being pure creation, but even if you want to say the pure niggers and the pure goops, the pure Chinese, were a creation of Yahweh, they are not, the Bible's not for them.
They're not even mentioned in the Bible. Where in the Bible, I mean, there might be niggers who are mentioned, but where are chinks mentioned in the Bible?
You know, some people think the niggers are the beast of the field, and some people think the chinks are the six-day creation before Adam. But the thing is, it doesn't matter.
Well, I think they're a six-day creation. You know, on the other hand, maybe they were brought in by Satan on flash water from Dogon Major or Dogon Minor, like you said. I mean, does it really matter?
Yeah.
They're not us. And essentially, the Bible don't have anything to do with them.
That's not going to take. I don't care how hard you try. You're never going to get a pure-blooded cheek or a full-blooded nigger from Africa. I'm not talking about the Mongols. You're never going to get the full-blooded niggers and geeks to sit down and teach them the laws of Yahweh to act like a white man.
Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? I mean, even when I was a kid, I used to... Yeah, so why bother? I used to wonder... I mean, I sort of thought the niggers had a point in running around and cooking up all these missionaries in a big old iron pot here they got or something like that from stupid white men. I mean, as far as I was concerned, these stupid missionaries deserved whatever the hell they got by bothering, you know, niggers that were just minding their own damn business in Africa. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, you know, when Lothrop Stoddard in his, what? in a so-called racist book, A Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy. He went ahead and pointed out is that we should not have forced the Japanese or the Chinese to go ahead and come into the modern world. As far as he was concerned, and I think Napoleon said the same thing, and Hitler did the same thing. He said, don't try to give Western thought or Western technology to Orientals. Because essentially they'll outnumber us like crazy, they'll underproduce us here, and that's exactly what the hell has happened here. He said, you know, Hitler in his political will said is that, you know, unless the white man gets the Jew monkey off his back, the Chinks will be taken over. You know what I mean?
What he said, Hitler knew that the Chinks were going to be built up by the Jews to take over and destroy the white man. And he knew that, just like he knew communism was a threat, okay? And the Jews always hide in all the white countries, but they have all the money and power. The Chinks don't have all the power, but they multiply like rats, and they're over a billion people in China. And he knew that they could, by becoming a communist nation, that they could basically work together to be an enemy for the white race. And, yeah, I mean, basically, a lot of what Hitler said is coming to pass. And, you know, it's where we're at, Martin, is that the Wiggers have allowed all this to happen. You can't blame the Jews for being spawn of Satan. They can't. I don't care if it's Brother Nathaniel Catner. Just like you can't take a Negro Duke and to put on white man clothes and act like a white man, you can't take a Jew and convert him and say, Brother Nathaniel Catner, you're going to be just like a white Christian. No, you're not. You're a devil, Brother Nathaniel Catner. Come on.
Well.
Am I right or wrong?
Well, I laughed at Russ here. Tried to tell quote, Brother Nathaniel Kapner that, oh, you don't sound as harsh voice here. Your voice is so melodic, unlike things here. Certainly you can't be a Jew. And then Brother Nathaniel said, dear Russ, you know, three out of my four grandparents were Jewish, and the other one was, on my father's side, was only half Jewish. So essentially, you know, yes, I am a Jew, but I'm a good Jew. And, Russ, he didn't know what to say to that here. So, I don't know. You know, folks, I don't have anything against niggers or chinks going ahead, since there are plenty of Bibles. I don't have anything against them opening up their own private Bible and praying to Yahweh to show mercy on them under the provision that, you know, Yahweh shows mercy to who he will. And if they can get Yahweh to go along with that, that's fine by me. That's fine by me. But on the other hand, Christian identity for Melungeon Mamsers like Jeremy Visser and Obagenderbender, I mean, Obagenderbender knows full well better than to show its name and its snout. You know what I mean? There's a reason for that. And Visser's been finished for over 2 years here. He had to get out of the stalking charge. He was just simply a criminal. He had to get out of the stalking charge by admitting that his full-blooded brother, Sean Aaron Visser, was his full-blooded brother. I gave him a chance to wiggle out of it. He didn't do it. He couldn't do it because he was still under the authority of this court to whom he ran off. From what I gather, he went up to Washington, caused trouble, ran back to Brooks or Griffin, Georgia, and there he was in trouble. He was in trouble. So, folks, I don't...
Visser, basically, not only is he a mongrel pretending to Christian identity, and he's probably a snitch and working for...
He's a Jew mongrel. Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't worked for John Deere in a long time. He probably...
Caterpillar.
Where did he get all the money?
Caterpillar.
Where did he get all the money for those four mongrel kids and Bridget the Idiot?
Five mongrel kids. Yeah. And Bridget the Idiot.
And also, where did he get the money for all his drugs? He's got to be a paid informant. He's getting his money from somebody.
Well, from what I gather, he was just a little criminal who was living off the edge, off of mommy, and he got caught. He got a bunch of money in 2009. He was going to quit Christian Identity forever. A week ago or so, I was I was trolling Visser big time about, you know, I mean, I was bringing up Brian Wright, I was bringing up betrayal by Visser, I was bringing up where he went ahead and betrayed Sci-Fi Faber. Sci-Fi Faber was trying to double-cross me, and then Visser put it into Sci-Fi's little head, and then he went ahead and double-crossed Sci-Fi Faber, took down Sci-Fi Faber's webpage, threatened Sci-Fi Faber with going to prison, as if he was working for that here, and he was working with Brian Wright and Gillette at the time here. See, Gillette sort of favors Visser because, hey, they're both snitches is what they are. Okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, someone is asking, Joe Pennsylvania was asking who Melchizedek was. There were some people who thought he was Jesus Christ in a previous incarnation.
Grandson of Noah? Noah's grandson?
No, what happens, Melchizedek, there's a lot of people who believe that Melchizedek, if you look at the book of Jasher, was none other than Shem. Shem lived supposedly 600 years.
I thought Shem's son or grandson.
Shem outlived Abraham, from what I gather. You know what I mean? Abraham lived, what, I think 120 years? Shem outlived Abraham. Shem outlived a number of people.
I think Shem and Melchizedek were two different people, and Shem followed Melchizedek farther away, and then he went back to Noah, and then Melchizedek stayed, because that was he had to stay with the body and be a priest to that site until the time of his death and guard the body, and so just the Holy Spirit and him were guarding Adam's body over there.
Well, he was, according to one of the books we read, he was the son of Cainan. He was the son or grandson of Cainan, and essentially he was left in the center of the earth or something like that, and pretty well left in the center of the earth, and then he came back here, and Abraham gave treasure to him here, according to, I'm going to have a little bit of trouble tonight because, one of my MP3 players is getting old, and, let's see, battery low here. Yeah, I'm having trouble, you know, doing some recording here. I got a bunch of low batteries on my MP3 players. This one I bought the other day doesn't record MP3, you know, doesn't record MP3 audio either here. So, any case here, so guest number 15, I think that's Visser, or it's a Nimbuster Tard or something like that.
I think it's Visser. Basically, he was guest 9, and I think he's coming back.
Yeah.
Basically, I had listened to Visser's show Wednesday night. What the hell were Obie, Jim, DeBender, and Visser talking about?
Oh, it's sort of hard to remember. They were, Visser was all annoyed about something. They were talking about No Devil Doctrine. Essentially, about the only one who preaches that is Clark Downey. Finkelschini preaches a form of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Essentially, they were talking about how Sheldon Emery got in trouble. Essentially, came up with that no devil horseshit in order to preach whatever the hell he wanted to preach. So, yeah, you have a number of these people, and they say a number of things, and you can't believe anything really they say too much. So, anyway, let me go ahead and check something. Okay, I'm still recording. I still got some battery. Anyway, so they were talking about No Devil, and Then over Genderbender, he went ahead and said, heck with it, after about two, after about a couple hours, and this went on for about, another 2 hours, screeching about, this would be real good as a Pentecostal Linhead preacher, He would really be pretty good because he don't have any morals, he don't have any obligation to the truth. He just pretty well says whatever the hell he wants to say, and he would be pretty good if he became a Pentecostal minister here. You'd have a lot of these Anglo mestizos looking at here. Anyway, I was looking at on Prime Video, I was looking at the Wild and Free Whites of West Virginia. I don't know if there was this show about this, about this hillbilly white trash, and essentially it don't look that white. It looks Anglo mestizo, so like this. It looks more like it's Melungeons or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And essentially, Visser would make one heck of a good preacher for that here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, basically, you told Richard the right thing that if Visser don't watch it, he's going to get hurt pretending to be a white man trying to infiltrate Christian identity. He'd be better off being a little bail priest. He could make a lot more money. And basically, he can still have his meth habit and his drug habit on the side, and he can rake a lot of shekels and only have to work basically one or two days a week, and a real good lifestyle and be real safe. But yet, he's got to pretend to be a white man, and he has to infiltrate. Now, where's he getting his money, Mark? Is he a paid informant?
I think he's. You gotta understand. It's sort of like. Don Black here. Sort of like Alex Linder. What they do, sort of like Hal Turner. It's the same thing in that essentially Zog pays, paid Hal Turner. Zog paid pretty much for Hal Turner's little radio show and all the rest here, and plus he got $100,000 a year. And what he then would do is that Hal, being a greedy bastard, would go ahead and beg Tards to send him money. And I remember listening to one of the Solar General shows. I'll grant Hal Turner was entertaining. But what he would do is that he would go ahead, like one Saturday, he goes ahead and says, I only got $150 this month here. Unless I get $3,000 and something, within what? The rest of Saturday night, Sunday. Unless I have $3,000 by Monday morning, and I only got, about $500 of previous, during the rest of the previous month, I'm going to be, this show is going to have to go off the air here. And then what happens is then I go ahead and download the next show. It's on Solar General. And here he is Monday. And he doesn't say a dang thing, refer to a dang thing about how he somehow managed to get $3,000, over a day and a half. And he's back to, he doesn't talk a single damn thing about it here. So essentially, I sort of think it's a Stormfront. I sort of think the VNNF here is paid for by Trader Glenn Miller. Essentially, it's paid for, and then what happens is what the TARD gets, for the rest of the money, he gets to keep. Now, I don't think Visser has very many actual listeners or actual followers or anything like that here. One character, Lenio C. Barcelos, used to be Sci-Fi's critter, and then he jumped ship with Visser. You know what I mean? And...
Yeah.
You end up having what I call the wandering mamsers. I don't think Rebecca Mace sends Eli James too much money. I think Eli James, he talks about how he has a contracting business. Well, here he is. He's going all over the freaking place. He's going to Texas. He's going wherever. He's, not only doing, three or four shows, about four shows, Dan Kiersey's, his own, RBN, and a few other ones that he can get on. He's doing 3, 4, 5 shows as many as he can. He's going all over the country if they'll go ahead and invite him, be an MSN, be it whatever.
John Stackmiller is part Jewish, And now you got Eli James on there. I mean, there's a few so-called semi-good white patriots on there, but for the most part, anytime you get a bunch of Jews running everything, it's not going to be, I mean, they're not going to be able to talk the truth like me and you because, you know, they're going to have to water it down.
Yeah.
Along with everybody, Martin, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's what they want to be all about, yeah. And, no, I mean...
You can't be nice with devils. I mean, to be honest, Hitler and the Nazis were way too nice. I mean, they really were trying to be... they wanted to get rid of the Jews, but there was no Holocaust. They just told them to leave, and unfortunately, the majority of the white people all over the world ganged up on Germany. And so you see what happens when some white people try to do something good, the majority of the Wiggers are going to hate you.
Well, they did what Martin Luther recommended. I mean, essentially burn their houses and synagogues and put them to work. Now, they didn't really burn their houses and synagogues, but essentially they moved them there and they did make these Jews work here. I mean, I've had to laugh at the, quote, death camp of Bergen-Belsen, to where there was one little Jew who was born in 1944. You know, here's a Jew boy being born in 1944 at the, quote, death camp of Bergen-Belsen, and he lives long enough to bother Hermann Göring's nephew. You know what I mean? And, come on, a death camp, I mean, how do you call a death camp if you have a little Jew boy being born in the death camp in 1944, and he lives to bother Hermann Göring's nephew? I mean, some death camp. I mean, it wasn't run very efficiently. And essentially what they did is they rounded up all these Jews. They didn't want Jews running wild. They went ahead and rounded up the poor Jews. The rich Jews got a free ticket to wherever else here. They just had to sign over, you know, control of their factories or whatever. And essentially, the rich Jews got to leave and got an export visa or whatever. And the poor Jews, they got rounded up and put into camps or ghettos, and essentially they were made to work. And that's, you know, there really was no planned Holocaust of the Jews. There really wasn't. Essentially, they were made to work. And you end up having even critters like Eli Wiesel. Eli Wiesel. He's given a choice. He's given a choice. Well, you know, you're a red Jew here. Do you want to wait for the Red Army to go ahead and pick you up here? I mean, they're a bunch of Jew Bolsheviks. You ought to be real happy to be there. Or do you want to go ahead and walk with us here further west here to get away from the Red Army? Well, old Eli, Wiesel, he goes ahead and he goes with the SS. He walks with the SS. He doesn't want to go ahead and be picked up by the Red Army. You know what I mean? And then he goes ahead and he whines like a pussy about, you know, you'll hear Jews whine like a pussy about the, quote, death march here, where they had to go ahead and walk west here with the SS, you know, prison guards.
Look, all these prisoners of war, the Germans treated their prisoners humanely. But a lot of the Russians, whether they were Mongol or Jew, or even if they were white Russians, if they were captured by the SS, a lot of them turned on Stalin because they hated communism and they were forced to fight. A lot of them became German foot soldiers.
Well, you're talking about Vlasov and the Hiwis, right? You know, Hiwis meant something. He'll whistle, you know. I forget the actual, it was a long word. It meant willing helpers. Essentially, what they did is they turned on the Bolsheviks and they essentially formed, I guess, service personnel who would go ahead and do. I mean, essentially, they did the same thing that niggers did in World War II. You know, dig ditches and drive trucks. You know what I mean? And pretty well. You had about, about 40,000 Russians, which actually went over to the German side under Vlasov, and essentially they actually fought on the side of the Germans, you know what I mean? But most of them weren't trusted enough. They were just called Hiwis or willing helpers, you know what I mean? You know, and you had a number of Hiwis, eh?
Look, Paulus, the general of the 6th on communism. Even after the war, he said communism was not the only future and only salvation of the whole world. He was a total traitor. Okay, all the soldiers that didn't want to die fighting the Russians, because about 10% of them fought to the death, they said there's no way we're going to be taken alive, and they were part of the Sixth Army. The rest of the majority of the Sixth Army that got captured were General Paulus. Only Paulus and a few of his traitor officers got to live because they had to come out and speak, say that Russia was on the right side and the Germany and socialist, National Socialism was wrong and racial. Anyway, the majority of them got sent to Siberia. Over 90% of the prisoners that got sent to Siberia never came out alive.
Well, a lot of them, it was just like Charles XII here. I mean, he captured a whole bunch of Swedes. And essentially, they were not allowed to go back to Sweden until after Charles XII was dead. And very few of them got to go back to Sweden. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So essentially, generally what the Russians have done is that they have used Western manpower, essentially slave labor. And that's what Hitler mainly did with the Jews. He tried to use them as slave labor. It was almost, they were treated a little bit worse. And, he captured a bunch of French here. He captured a bunch. I mean, there would be work levies, imposed upon the French, the Belgians, and, the Dutch, to go ahead and provide workers in Germany. You know what I mean? Essentially, they would be, they would be actually paid something. I think even these Jews were paid a little bit, but essentially they weren't paid very much, you know what I mean? And most people didn't really want to work in an armament factory in Germany. But, I'm not saying the Germans were wonderful, but, folks, from what I gather, there were some, especially the French, they thought the Germans ran things better than their own crooked leaders did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In what, 5 years? They sort of thought that the, 4 years, they sort of thought the Germans did a better job. They were annoyed at the Allies for essentially bombing the crap out of French railroads and French villages. And essentially the Allies killed more Frenchmen, French civilians, than what the Germans did. You know what I mean?
That's right. Hey, Martin.
Yeah.
Joe, I should change the subject. Joe wants you to talk about Obama and the damn gun grab.
Okay. Let's just go ahead and take about a 3 or 4 minute break, and I'll go ahead and see if I can't get the MP3 player to do. Let's have about a 2 or 3 minute break, okay?
Hail Victory.
All right, Hail Victory.
She's not a girl who misses much. Oh yeah. She's well acquainted with the touch of the velvet hand, like a lizard on a window pane. The man in the crowd with the multicolored mirrors on his hobnailed boots, lying with his eyes while his hands are busy working overtime. A soap impression of his wife, which he ate and donated to the National Trust. Happiness is a warm gun.
Okay, folks, we're back. Let's see here. Well, probably enough.
They're talking about the shooting. But frankly, we posted something. A lot of your Democrats are coming out and saying that they are not going to support Obama and the gun control. So, I mean, Obama's not going to be, unless it gets rid of the 535 traitors in Washington, unless Obama just thinks he's going to be a dictator and run over them and get what he wants, it doesn't look like they're going to get all the gun control they want, Martin.
Well, they were bitching. Abe Foxman on the Huffington Post about 2 days ago was whining like a kike pussy that essentially, you know, he was whining about all conspiracy theories and said that Adam Lanza was a Jew, that the Mossad was in on this, that it was a Zog false front action. You know, he was going ahead and calling them Newtown truthers. You know what I mean? You're the Jews. And somebody sent me, an email to where 4 days before the thing, you know, happened, there was something by YouTube video about how they were saying that, well, essentially that it was a false front action here. You know what I mean? Is that it was all together planned by Jews here. And you have old Abe Foxman whining like a kike pussy. That how dare these goyims say this sort of thing? Essentially, there's a lot of people who think that essentially Newtown or Sandy Hook was as much of a Jew operation as 9/11 in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I mean, supposedly a lot of those kids that supposedly got shot, it was all staged, and supposedly they weren't pure white. A lot of them were mongrel Jews. I
mean, well, yeah, that's another thing that gets me is that when they make a big deal about it, they show the little white girl, the little blonde, blue-eyed white girl.
Yeah.
Grace something or another, Grace McDonald or something like that here. She, you know, a white little white girl. And essentially, they don't make a big deal about there was a little Noah Jew boy, and there was a couple nigglets who got shot. I mean, they make a big, it's sort of like with the news here. They tried to go ahead and show a blonde, if they could find them, a blue eye, but now they're having more and more brown eyed mamsresses here, beach bottle, you know, wiggers. Essentially, they're there to go ahead, they have some beautiful white woman here going ahead and sucking up to some nigger, you know, some faggot nigger like this Chris Lemons or something like that here. Openly faggot nigger. I mean, and you'll end up having some, you know, hideous kikus like Andrea Mitchell or what the hell, you know, some dog face girl, Christine Amirpour. For my guess, she's some sort of mamzerous hag or something like that here, and you will have some perfectly hideous critters running around pretending to be this or pretending to be that here. And I'm looking for that link here to where essentially old Abe Foxman was whining like a tight pussy that essentially nobody's believing that shit. But Harry Reid, he barely squeaked by, and I think he squeaked by using fraud. He's pretty well told Ubongo is that, well, yes, we'll get to passing this gun magazine thing here. If the Republicans in the House will go along with it, essentially you have a bunch of Democrats. And I was listening to one. She got elected to Kent Conrad's seat in North Dakota. And she's some sort of former attorney general in North Dakota. And essentially, you know, this shit that passes in New York, this shit that passes in Connecticut. I mean, Newtown, you know, I mean, in Connecticut, they're of two minds because they end up having, I think Smith & Wesson, I think Samuel Colt is headquartered in Connecticut or something like that. essentially what happens is they want to sell guns, but they don't want to have anything there here. And where was it here? Where was it? Let's see. Oh, you have Tennessee legislature wants to arrest federal agents who enforce gun control. Well, same thing in Missouri. Who want to block enforcement of gun control laws. Rand Paul pledges to nullify the new Obongo gun control executive orders. Alabama said that they're going to block any federal gun control. Missouri, Missouri Republicans also plan to nullify any gun control laws. You know what I mean? Folks, we're not past... What I see is a bunch of Democrats and Jews and the rest. They're talking about how they have to have the Republicans essentially raise the debt ceiling in 2 months or less. You know what I mean? And how they're doing that, and this is what Covington says. He says they're going to go after white people's last money. Well, they might be trying to do that. But essentially, Obongo, they were threatening a lot worse than what Obongo actually passed. Now, maybe he went ahead and pulled his horns in, and some of this shit is bad. I mean, essentially, they're trying to go ahead and have, essentially, kids talk about daddy being drunk and having guns and scaring the kiddies, and therefore that justifies the pigs coming because, essentially, a little school teacher talks to a little nipper. And then here comes the pigs here, because little Nipper is scared about daddy's guns here. Daddy's drunk. Daddy's mean. Daddy's nuts. And, this is 23 executive orders. But, folks, even Obongo admitted that in order to pass magazine restrictions, in order to pass all these gun laws, he's going to need Congress. And essentially, Dirty Harry Reid says, okay, but first we got to go ahead and pass this, this fiscal cliff thing, and then we got to go ahead and pass immigration. And there's somebody at Alternative Right here who's saying this, they're deliberately talking about taking the guns in order to pass legislation by which Obongo brings in, legalizes 40 some million beaners. And essentially, pretty well, yes, they'll try to take the guns, but essentially they're trying to get people all upset about the guns while they go ahead and pass amnesty for beaners. Now, I think this is stupid. Essentially, you have a bunch of these people whining and pissing and moaning about guns, on the air. And I would like to boycott whoever buys, not only advertising space on MSNBC or the Obongo channel, but CNN as well. But the problem of it is that I think the only thing they sell anymore is Viagra or Cialis or loans or something like that. And essentially, I can't bypass that because I'm not going to go ahead and spend money to give myself the dick of death or anything like that here. But in any case, what I think they're doing, I think it's a stupid thing, is that essentially they're having Missouri and Alabama and Tennessee and Montana and Wyoming, they're teaching these people to essentially say fuck you to the government. They're teaching people to be disobedient. They're teaching people to not obey executive orders. And folks, if people are not going to obey, I remember a couple of years ago, they said 56% of Republicans think that Obongo is nothing more than a Kenyan, Muslim nigger. You know what I mean? It ain't just us who's calling him a Muslim faggot and Jew nigger, is it? You know what I mean? Right? You end up having ordinary wiggers call them that here, and they're scared that essentially Obongo's going to take away their guns, and he's going to go ahead and tax away the rest of the stuff. I mean, essentially, what they're doing, I think, is stupid, because they're teaching ordinary wiggers not to obey Zog Babylon. I don't think this is smart what Zog Babwan is doing. You know what I mean? And right now it seems like essentially, you know what the biggest thing is now? Is about this dumbass named Lance Armstrong, who is a crook who lost his nuts due to testicular cancer for injecting himself with steroids. You know what I mean? He injected himself with steroids. He got testicular cancer. He had to have his nuts cut off or something like that here. And essentially, you know, about how manipulative he was. You know what I mean? Right? And essentially, all they're talking, you know, I mean, it seems like this Lance Armstrong, you know, shit is taking as much room as the gun weapons ban. But what you see in character, in places like Missouri, is you end up finding out all the global wigger, you know, butthole fags like Cousin Randy Turner and whoever supports him. You figure out that these characters are not on your side, that they believe that you ought to have guns, and essentially, you're finding out more and more stuff about these worthless bastards. Well, it looks like Andy is with us here. I don't know if you've seen AccessSallyRaw.com. I haven't had a chance. It came up, but from my guy, Access Sally is bitching that she got paid by Harold Covington, and she's all pissy about something or another here. So, you know, I don't know if Andy wants to answer that or not. He's had a chance to listen to it.
Guest number 15 is Visser again. He's come back.
Yeah, so.
And basically, he's saying that he talks to Linda.
If he talks to Linda here, I mean, he has a chance, what, 3 weeks ago to bring Linda on?
Linda Bermuda of Jersey City, New Jersey. And basically, you know, Rebecca Mace admitted that Jeremy Visser was a Cherokee Melungeon like her. And Visser admitted in court he was a Cherokee mongrel. And then he tried to pass that shit off to me. He said, well, he was a red man. So if you're a Cherokee, that means you're part of Adam. I mean, come on.
Oh, Alaska. No, I guess Zogbuster says Alaska. I mean, pretty well, you end up having all across the southern states, including Missouri. I mean, really, the part in Bethany, the guy who's running it, you know, this is northwest Arkansas. This is Cornfield County. It's closer to, you know, Iowa and Kansas than it is, you know, the Ozarks. But essentially, all across Missouri, you have all the rural Missourians in all these little bitty places here while they're... And in many cases, what you have is you have liberal wiggers from St. Louis and niggers who are talking about passing moral bongo-like restrictions, and you end up having a difference in Missouri. But the thing about it is, though, is that Missouri got, as a result, they got a, you know, essentially if all the Missouri Republicans hang tough and essentially they pass a law in Missouri, they pass a law to where essentially a federal agent will be thrown in jail with a Class D felony in Missouri, they have 60% of the House and 60% of the Senate or more. They have a super majority. They have enough to override, you know, this Democrat piece of shit Jay Nixon's vetoes. You know what I mean? And they don't think much of Jay Nixon here. So essentially, if they want to actually pass this legislation, it'll go through, and if Jay Nixon refused to sign it, it'll go ahead and be overthrown. It'll be gone ahead and pointed by, well, pretty well the Republicans here. I mean, see, you'll end up having a stupid wigger skank here from suburban St. Louis, and she will go ahead and talk about essentially a Obongo type law, and she'll go ahead and get read. And since it's such a stupid law, and it doesn't have a chance of passing it, from what I gather, they are going to go ahead, and they've already debated it, and essentially, it's just going to get, you know, they're not even bothering, you know, they're not even bothering this wigger skank. They're not even bothering to bottle it up in committee. I mean, it's so stupid, they're just going to go ahead and get out on the floor, and then vote, you know, what, two-thirds no on it. You know what I mean? They're not even bothering to bottle up a law like that in Missouri. I mean, Joe Pennsylvania wanted to ask a question about the gun, you know, essentially gun laws here. What you have, and I think it's stupid for global wiggers to do it. I mean, they're frantic. I think they're frantic to go ahead and do something. I think the reason they're frantic is that essentially there's only 2 months away, and essentially the Republicans can be like they were in 2010, and if Obama wants to be an asshole, he wants to go ahead and legalize all these beaners, he wants to go ahead and do all this shit, the Republicans can go ahead and finish running over the fiscal cliff. They can refuse to go ahead and raise the debt limit like they did in 2010. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And essentially, they might get blamed for it, but, you know, hey, I mean, what with Obongo pulling this shit? He's just, I mean, people go ahead and worry about it. When you go ahead and look at someone like me who was in the military, who looked at the map here. Essentially, these blue states are Jew England, and essentially these big cities, you know, Chicago, Gary, Indiana, you know, Niggertown. And yeah, you'll have those precincts go blue. But it's really easy to simply cut off supplies. And what I see, and I sort of think this Obongo.
But getting back to the thing, Joe. Okay, getting back to, do you think that the counties and the sheriffs and some of the politicians are going to resist the gun control? And if they do, and Obama then don't get what they want, are they just going to try to? I mean, what are they going to do to start a civil war or? How are they going to get the gun confiscation?
I don't know if they will or won't here. I mean, but I don't know. I go ahead, what I see and what was in the news here in Southwest Missouri was that essentially the Lawrence County Sheriff and about a number of other ones. I don't know if old Ken Copeland, you know, the piece of shit over in Neosho is going to go ahead and go along with it. But from what I gather, they waited about a day, and already they got a number of sheriffs in Missouri saying, we're not going to enforce Obongo's laws here. And in Missouri, you have essentially the Republicans. I mean, I never thought they had that balls enough to do it. But essentially what they're doing is they're finding out that there's nobody who, you know, I mean, there's critters like Cousin Randy Turner who whines like a pussy about, oh, dare you not obey federal law. Well, Obongo isn't obeying the constipation. He isn't obeying the Bill of Goods. I mean, essentially, he's just a Kenyan nigger. And here, you know, here in Southwest Missouri, which is really the most, quote, Republican area of the state here, and where a lot of people believe that Obongo is really nothing more than just a Kenyan nigger Muslim, you know, I mean, they won't go so far as call him a Jew faggot, but they do believe he's a Muslim. You know what I mean? And he's a Kenyan Muslim. I mean,
the thing is, here's the problem, Martin. Okay, is that people make the mistake. Like somebody said, there's four races. There's Australoid and Niggeroid. No, the real dark skin. Blacks in Africa and the blacks in Australia are both pure niggers. Now, most of the so-called niggers in America are not even pure. I mean, just like Obama, just because they're part black, I mean, hell, if somebody's 10% black, they call them a nigger in America, but that's all they are is a mongrel. They're not even a pure nigger.
Yeah, well, Bongo is... He's some sort of nigger mongrel.
Obongo's part nigger. Obongo's part nigger. But the thing is that, like, if you go to Africa, some of the pure blacks in Africa, they want to have nothing to do with the spot niggers in America because they're mongrelized. They're not even...
Well, they call them coloreds. In South Africa, they call them coloreds. And essentially, they weren't much liked by the by the deep, you know, by the Zulus and, you know, the other Xhosas and the rest of them here. They weren't liked or trusted either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and you'd have a bunch of them called the Rehoboam bastards, and you'd have them, I mean, to your average South African, they were all Kaffirs here when it came down to it, but then what happens is that usually they'd have a racial classification here, and the same thing happened in Haiti, is that the mulattoes were treated better than the fresh, you know, from African field hands who were essentially put to work in the cotton, you know, in the cotton fields here. And essentially you had, you know, you end up having fights between the dark niggers here, pure blooded nigger, you know, blue gums, and the mulatto niggers as well as the whites here. And it ended up with the whites being murdered here by, you know, both the mulattoes and the black niggers, but, you know, they still had their own little sort of intra-race war as well here. And, they are what they are. I mean, I don't really get into nigger husbandry, to be honest with you. I know enough to know the difference between a blue gum nigger and, you know, your average, you know, mulatto, you know, part nigger or whatever here. But to me, they're all niggers, you know, in most cases here. Now, actually, your blue gum niggers are better behaved. Oops, I seem to have lost contact. Let me go ahead and call back here, okay?
Left to fight the big war. I saw my first pistol in the general store. In the general store. Well, I was 13. I thought it was the finest thing I ever had seen. So I asked if I could have one someday when I grew up. Mama dropped a dozen eggs. She really blew up. Yes, she really blew up. She didn't understand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand.
The devil's right hand, nothing touched the trigger but the devil's right hand.
Okay, folks, we're back. I hate these cell phones and that. What they do is that they got provisions to where, oh, if you press the wrong button on the side of the phone, you get cut off. Okay? So anyway, looks like Visser was running wild here for a minute here. So let me see here.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Visser is really, he's really getting frantic. I mean, he's coming out, he's really attacking your show and attacking you and attacking me and Frank Wigger and other. I mean, really, I think he's realized that he doesn't have much future in Christian identity, but for some
reason. Oh, he's been a dead man's walk and ever since what? Back in December 3rd, he had essentially admit that he wasn't a white supremacist because he wasn't white. He was, he was quote part Cherokee in order to get out of stalking charge. You know what I mean? And see, it's the only time this was ever told the truth is when he'll go to jail if he doesn't tell the truth or if he gets caught lying. And so for about a month or two, Visser was pretty well behaved. He'd call in. John Britton actually talked to him for 2.5 hours one night in mid-December of 2010. And I said, I asked John Britton. I thought, I thought you were going to beat Visser's ass when you caught the lying bastard. And he said, yeah, I'm going to beat his ass, but I'm hoping to find out where Brian Wright lives so I can beat Brian Wright's ass first. And I said, okay. And, for about a month, he was admitting that Brian Rhea wasn't white. He was admitting that his full-blooded brother was Sean Aaron Visser. I mean, I need to go ahead and dig out. I need to go ahead and find those talk shows here and pick out what it was. And essentially for about another month or two afterwards, he was forbidden. I guess old Bridget the Idiot went ahead and took herself and her little pisser possums. She only had four at the time. And she went up there. And this was around the time that the beer barrel or the Manzer barrel was being created. And there was this Jew named Johnson here. We call him Jewstein, and that ain't his real name. It's Todd Singleton, but his daddy was a Jew Manzer here, and his mother was some sort of hybrid negress or something. Well, anyway, old Jewstein went ahead and said, I'd like to go ahead and be busy working on the beer barrel, but Bridget the Idiot has come up in South Bend, so he went over to hump old Bridget the Idiot. And here's old Visser. Visser is left behind in Brooks, Georgia with Red Nigger Mama, and essentially all by himself, and he's just all frantic because he's not allowed. He's not allowed in Washington State just yet. And eventually he said he got a Winnebago, and he was going to go ahead, and he was allowed, I think for about 2-3 months, he was not allowed to go to Washington State here. So what he did is he pretty well shut down the webpage, shut down a bunch of stuff here, and, that's what he did, is that he went ahead and got a job, and he managed to get old Bridget the Itch to come back here. But I keep on laughing that Pisser Possum number 5 got a little hooked nose here from old Jewstein. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I went ahead and laughed at that. What happens is that old Jewstein went where no Pisser Possum had gone before or since here on old Bridget the Idiot. So
Hold on. You're saying that British child number 5, that Jeremy's not the daddy,
that's been sort of implied. I mean, the critter would have been conceived right around the time that Visser was, left behind, or Jewstein was, Jewstein was humping old Bridget the Idiot, in March of 2011 here. And essentially, me and John Britt, we were sort of cruel. We were laughing about how old Jew, old Bridget the Idiot was, being, humped by old Jewstein, the Jew boy, up in, around Seattle, Washington, and going where no Pisser Possum had gone before or since here. And essentially, old Visser couldn't do anything about it because he was allowed you know, he wasn't allowed to go back to Washington. He was still under the authority of the court. From my gathering, he stalked his mother-in-law and his wife up around Seattle, and then he ran down to Georgia. He ran down to Georgia, and essentially, you know, they went ahead and filed the criminal charge, and he spent 3 weeks from late August to September 9th in jail. And then he got out, you know, got out the morning of September 10th, and he went ahead and took down his web page. He took down all his, you know, the remaining forums that he had. He'd pretty well gotten rid of Pisser's history at noontime, tied, and what I call Pisser's sender, but he still had Pisser's pussy parlor, which he still has up. You know, the V Bulletin version 4.0.1 or whatever. And, oh heck, it looks like I went ahead and lost. You know, I'm dropping like crazy here. Let me see.
Wait a minute. Oh, the chat room says you're still alive.
Well, I don't see him live. I just heard a beep here.
Oh, no, you're dead. No, you're dead. You lost it again. Hey, listen. Somebody wants you to talk about Axis Sally. Supposedly, when you call back in, supposedly Axis Sally is now a bisexual lesbo, and she's going to she's starting off Harold Covington, and she's going to expose him. And she's no longer a white nationalist. She doesn't give a damn about the white race. And all she cares about is bodybuilding and being a lesbo or something. I don't know. What do you think about all that, Martin?
I'll answer in a minute here.
Have you heard all this crap about Axel Sally?
Hold on.
You may access the call up to 15 minutes before it begins. Enter your PIN followed by the pound. You are now joining the call.
Recorded live.
You are unmuted.
Well, folks, I don't know what to do about the phone here. I didn't actually hit any button. The thing just dropped on me. So I don't know what to do about it here. In any case, you know, that's just the way things are.
The thing is, Texas Sally was damaged goods. I mean, she came out of her an abusive childhood. She was in the porn. She fought in drugs. And she was taken in by some white nationalists. She should have embraced the white nationalists and tried to help save the white race. But, you know, she did a bodybuilding. I mean, Russell Walker's brother is big in the bodybuilding. He's got a lot of problems, too, like Texas Sally. But he did the bodybuilding, and a lot of them are Jews and Masters that are in bodybuilding.
They get into the steroids or something like that. I don't really. To be honest with you, Axis Sally never. You know, she called us. You know, she called Chris Nadetti moronic, and she didn't much care for the retards. The creatards. She called them creatards and CI idiots, and essentially. I mean, the only thing I did is I asked for her permission to go ahead and reprint her blog, and she said yes, and, you know, pretty well, I've never really responded back to her. I mean, I don't know. From my gather, you know, I said it doesn't really matter if she's Karina Burt or not. The thing about it is, though, is that, shoot, I mean, maybe Covington, needed some female voice or something like that, and Axel Sally did pretty good, and then I guess there was some trouble, and, you know, she was bitching that Covington was censoring her, and maybe he was. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't run how Covington does his show. I don't run how Covington runs Northwest Front here. I mean, you know, shoot. To be honest with you, I probably wouldn't have worked with Axis Sally the way she was to begin with. But he did, and, you know, it was good for a while, then it wasn't good, and now it's turned sort of bad, and essentially that's not really, you know, I'll go ahead and listen to what she has to say, but on the other hand, it doesn't really have anything to do with you or me now, does it? You know what I mean?
Well, because basically, Harold Covington, he is not a dual seed line.
No, he's not even, you know, Harold Covington has said, you know, he said he's not even Christian. And essentially what it boils down to is that, shoot, I'm not allies with Covington because he's a Christian or because he's not a Christian. I mean, essentially, I agree with some of what Covington says. I disagree with some of what Covington says. I mean, essentially, I sort of think that what he's planning is legit. I give him credit for actually getting some work done on what he's doing here. But essentially, I'm not the one who determines what Covington does or doesn't do or who he chooses to have with him. You know, I have met Andy Donner, and Andy's a pretty quality person here. And but essentially, you know, I don't really, you and me, the way it comes down to it, we don't really have any dog in this fight as to whether Axis Sally gets along with Harold Covington or not, do we? We don't really care, do we?
I mean, basically, I agree with the warlord part of Harold Covington, and I do agree with some of what he stands for, but if somebody is not too seagline and they don't want to be under Yahweh and his law, they don't believe in the scriptures, and they don't realize that a bunch of so-called white people may have Jew blood in them and they're going to be a problem. If they don't, I mean, like Commander Orbit 5 or whoever else is trying to infiltrate Kevin's organization, I mean, basically, it's going to fail. I mean, even...
Well, that's what I was saying, is that it doesn't say anything in the Bible about a great North, you know, about any rebellion or, you know, revolution against Zog Babylon. It doesn't say anything about that in the Bible. So, you know, I mean, there's difference between, you know, I mean, and that's why when Covington talks about a Northwest front to where you have essentially people who are really not allied in anything other than their hatred of Zog Babylon, and essentially they're wanting white people to come out on top, and essentially, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't really begrudge Covington 1,000 warlords, essentially killing Zog pigs and niggers and Jews in the Northwest. I mean, more power to him here. You know what I mean? So as a result, I mean, he's wanting to build something. I don't really think there's anything that can be built here, but if Covington wants to try and other people want to help him do it, that's fine with me. And if some of them, turn on Covington, well, then I guess that's what's going to happen. There ain't nothing you or I are going to do about that, is there?
Turn on me. I mean, I've had a lot of people turn on me, and since I've been 2C1, I mean, I've had family because over the Bible, I mean, Yahweh said that his truth brings a sword and division. I mean,
yeah.
and it's going to upset families because... And the majority of the white race does not want the truth. They don't want Yahweh. They don't want his laws. So if you're part of Yahweh's remnant and you're going to keep his laws and stand for his truth, then you're going to have basically some of your biggest enemies are going to be the Wiggers of your own household.
Well, yeah. I mean, John Britton, you about 3-4 years ago, he used to worry about what this bitch Kathy Buckles did, about she was a traitor in Zimbabwe, about what, 30 years ago. And I said, why are you worried about what some bitch, there's this other bitch named Allison over on Stumble In, and now the Mamzer Barrel. He used to think that the bitch was about a fifth or sixth cousin, and she married some wop here, and essentially she's a stupid cunt, and he was worried that she was over on Moot Stormfront, betraying him to this nigger Daryl Lamont Jenkins. And I said, why the hell are you worried about what a fifth cousin of yours do, who you don't have any control over, when you're not able to go ahead and tell some of your daughters what to do, and you can't get some of your daughters to essentially dump their worthless Quaker husband or something like that, abusive Quaker husband. You can't get your daughter some cases to mind you, and you can't get your sisters to go ahead and listen to you either. Why are you worried about fifth cousins? You know what I mean? If you can't get your own sisters and daughters, you know, to essentially behave themselves. You know what I mean? Right?
I agree.
Right? So, I mean, what's it to me?
All you can do is tell your family and your friends and all the white strangers that you come into contact with. All you can do is tell all the white people that you come into contact with. You can teach them the truth of Yahweh.
Yeah, I mean,
you cannot force them to repent. You cannot force them to change. You cannot.
Yeah. Oh hell, I couldn't get my brother's widow to take that nigglet she adopted back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean hell, and essentially, we haven't talked with each other for what?
I'll tell you, your dead brother Monty. He had two kids with her. Why the hell did she care about her own kids if she wants to go?
Well, that's what pretty well annoyed me. I pretty well, you know, I mean, her mother got killed in the same accident as her mother got killed in the same accident that her, that Monty got killed in. And essentially she got, what, 40 acres and a trailer house in Alpena, Arkansas. And she said, well, I'm giving my brother Shannon the trailer house. I said, shoot, you got all this money here. Why are you living on what I call the Seas of Plains? Why are you living in Columbia or Jeff City? I mean, essentially that's the same as Sodom. You know, Columbia is the same as Sodom because it's the University of Missouri system. I mean, just nothing but, you know, mamsers and faggots and stupid wiggers. Why are you living in Sodom and Gomorrah? Why don't you just simply got enough money? Just sell the house that you got. You got enough of the settlement. You know, you're getting what? $2,000 a month because Monty, you know, you get the maximum on Social Security here for survivors and shit like that. Why don't you just simply go ahead and, you know, let your brother have the, you know, the old trailer house. Essentially, go ahead and, about 50 feet away, put in a brand new trailer house and live in Alpena, Arkansas. They have schools in Alpena, Arkansas. Your family are a bunch of Arkansasers. Why don't you just simply live there? And she couldn't do that. She just liked Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's what she got pissed off when I urged her to just, you know, essentially, you could go ahead and live pretty good on $2,000 a month in Alpena, Arkansas. You know what I mean? And, hell, she wouldn't do that. And then she went ahead and adopted some nigglet from the Jefferson City Projects. And that, you know, I said, if Monty was alive, he wouldn't let you, you know, I mean, essentially, if Monty had lived, you know, he wanted to go, he's probably pumped her belly full of at least four, maybe six kids here. You know what I mean? Is what he's done. You know what I mean? And essentially, you know, I mean, he was a, you know, like all of them said, he was sort of a tight man with the dollar. He would have gone ahead and, well, essentially he was making fairly good money as a civil engineer, you know, for the Missouri Highway Department. I mean, he actually finished engineering school. And essentially, he didn't, you know, it wasn't as challenging as mechanical engineering, but hey, he made pretty good money, and he was about as close to a saint as anybody I've seen here. I mean, they're about, he, you know, when he was, you know, he used to go ahead and paint all these old women's houses at Herbert's Church here. You know what I mean?
Are you talking about money or son?
No, I'm talking about Monty here. From what I gather, his son looks a good deal like him now here, but, you know, I mean, you know, I was actually, well, you see me, I'm 6'2", 6'2½", and I was the shortest. You know, I don't know if you've seen Pig Oak here. He's, what, 6'3"? You know, my brother Monty was 6'4", but he was pretty thin. But, any case, no, I mean, you know, hey, I mean, if he'd have lived, you know, the old machine, you know, his wife would have gone ahead and squeezed out about, what, about probably another two or three kids at least. You know what I mean? And I mean, you know, I mean, there would have been no adopting nigglets here. And I don't mind her adopting her half-brother's, you know, kids here. I mean, at least they're white. But, you know, shoot, she adopted a nigglet. And you know, I couldn't, I mean, I tried to get her to, you know, why don't you just take it back? You know, and she wouldn't do it. You know what I mean? She wouldn't do it. And essentially, you know, my sister, you know, was still pissed, you know, was sort of annoyed at me for calling it a nigger. Well, it's a nigger. I said that, shoot, I don't want any of what should go to Monty's boy and girl going to that damn nigger. And my sister was a little bit, she was a little bit pissed off at my racism over it here. But she did say is that, well, you know, pretty well, you know, none of it was going to serve the nigger here. But I don't know. I mean, shoot. You know, I mean, maybe it's a wonderful nigglet. I don't know, but, you know, shoot, you can't even get your brother to behave. You can't get your sister-in-law to behave. I mean, why in the world should you worry about what happens with other wiggers who you ain't even related to about them not behaving? You know what I mean? You can't do anything with them. You can't do anything with, you can't blame the Jews for that here, for turning them into wiggers. You know what I mean? You know, thieving, worthless wiggers. I mean, what are you going to do?
Basically, basically, you talk about the Jew media, you talk about the Jew drugs, you talk about the Jew communist school system and the money system.
But it's wiggers. Wiggers who are allowing that shit.
Jews do a lot of shit. But let me tell you something. Wigger parents are lazy. The wigger parents, instead of homeschooling their kids, or instead of teaching them the Bible at home, they send them to a communist public school, and they send them to a communist, Judeo-Christian, race-mixing, universalist, phony church, where they're indoctrinated with nothing but fables and lies and brainwashing, and then they sit them in front of the TV and let them watch the Talmud Vision. So what do they think that these little wigger kids are going to grow up to be? They're going to grow up to be brainwashed wiggers.
Yeah, that's why I liked the reaction to Obongo's little executive orders. I mean, some of the wiggers are beginning to sort of wise up a little bit. They're beginning to wise up a little bit, and at least in Missouri, you know, a few other states, they're just saying, well, fuck you, nigger. Essentially, they're learning disobedience. Obongo is teaching wiggers disobedience to Zog. You know what I mean? And I like that. I like that. I mean, that is one good thing about wiggers. Yes, they're stupid and they're selfish, but essentially, you know, when you talk about starting to take their guns here, I mean, a lot of wiggers are going to say, well, fuck this shit. I mean, essentially, Obongo is teaching them disobedience. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
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 So, I mean,
Since we got some politicians that are going to stand to the Second Amendment and some sheriffs and some local, if they can't enforce the gun confiscation by the U.S. military or by some kind of, what about this treaty that Obama signed, this treaty that says that all nations of the earth need to be disarmed and that supersedes the U.S. Constitution? What if they bring in some NATO or United Nations troops?
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried more about the crooked pigs you have next door to you. That's the one you have to worry about.
Are there not enough pigs all over America to disarm the public all at once? No.
The answer is no.
Maybe a shithole like New York City, they can disarm the majority of the people, but what about all over the country? They can't disarm the whole country at once.
Well, they're not going to be able to. I mean, essentially, all this crap that he's pulled has certainly upset the slop trough. I mean, you know, look, nigger. He's just like you know, all these wiggers in the West here. They assume the white people are going to obey their horseshit. And just like this thing with Cousin Randy Turner. He's whining like a pussy because essentially the state of Missouri is saying we're not going to obey federal laws, and if you try to enforce it, we're going to go ahead and, you know, do a Class D felony against you for trying it. You know what I mean? Now, are they actually going to do that? The answer is no. But on the other hand, as far as setting up Obongo Care, you know, I forget what they, I mean, for Obamacare, the states are supposed to go ahead and set up an exchange or something like that. And essentially what happens, Missouri has gone ahead and voted several times that they're not going to set up any Obongo exchanges here. They're not going, you know, the state legislature isn't going to allow Jay Nixon, you know, the governor, and Chris Costner, the attorney general, not going to allow them to set up an exchange. So according to Obongo Care, if these states don't set up an exchange, then I guess they're not going to be eligible for Obongo Care. So, but essentially what Obongo Care was, it wasn't about treating anybody, certainly not white people. It's about treating niggers and beaners and getting white people to, you know, to pay for it. But what happens when essentially people refuse to file income tax or withholding statements or anything like that, or they declare themselves exempt, or they give themselves what, 20, you know, exemptions or what have, you know, what have you? What happens when essentially your local pigs and your deputy sheriffs refuse to go along with that here? I mean, essentially, do you have enough U.S. Marshals? Do you have enough? If you go ahead and bring in, like, say, black gangbangers, like in Harold Covington's novels, how are you? I mean, essentially, you're starting a race war. So essentially, what you have is a whole bunch of wiggers who are demanding that white people obey the law all of a sudden here. And you know, like I said in my response to Cousin Randy Turner.
Here's the problem with starting a race war. So many nigger families have a daughter or a granddaughter that's getting knocked up by a nigger stick, or she's a mud shark. I mean, the majority of niggers, it's very hard for them to think racial. It's very hard for them.
Well, it's harder for them to do. But even
a race war, and you got sticks and niggers killing killing white people all over the country, there's still a lot of stupid niggers that really don't want to fight. I mean, they don't really want to.
But on the other hand, you know, tell me how many wiggers really, when it comes down to it, want to be killed by niggers or beaners. And essentially what they'll do is that, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it, Martin. I don't want to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of that. I don't want to talk about it as if, well, because I don't talk about it, it's not going to exist here. Well, wigger, it is going to exist. You know what I mean? So,
and there's still some niggers that want to turn the other cheek and just lay down when the niggers are robbing them and raping their wives and kids and just beating the hell out of them. I mean, there's still some niggers that will not fight. I mean, it's not just these liberal nigger women. I mean, there's some men that, I mean, unless they're told by God to join the army and go kill the Jews' enemies, I mean, some niggers just have a problem with being racial. And for me, to be honest, growing up, I never liked race mixing. I mean, I did not know that the white race was the last sheep in the house of Israel. I thought the Jew devils were so-called God's chosen kids. But I never liked Jews, even when I was around them. They were always sneaky and shifty. And I never liked to see a white girl screwing niggers or spicks or a non-white. I mean, I never liked the sight of race mixing or even mongrelized kids. You know, you got a white woman with a black daddy or a Mexican daddy or something. I mean, to me, growing up, but I did not know that, you know, there's a reason why that was in there, because it's not natural. It's not natural to want to be integrated and race mixed. It's not natural to want to destroy something pure that Yahweh created. And I don't see, to me, even, I mean, I was just ready to wake up once I came into the TC Drop message, Martin, that the majority of wiggers out there, I mean, I really look hard, and I don't see the racial pride.
Well, I don't see as many. I mean, if you're like me, it's close to, the 7th of February will be 3 years. I mean, 3 years I've been doing the show. You know, it's been pretty well a show, except for a few times when I was removed, not only from TeamSpeak, but, you know, from what do they call it, a pal talk or something like that here. And since I stuck back on, to talk to you. But in any case, what I've seen is that you see fewer and fewer actual white people. Now, last night I was, essentially it was cold, so I crawled into bed, I put the headphones on, and I watched on Amazon Prime, what do they call it, The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. And essentially these people were not white, they were Anglo-Mestizos. You know what I mean? They were Anglo-Mestizos. Essentially what they were is that they were drunken white trash. I mean, essentially, all the women would go ahead and have a number of husbands. Essentially, they'd go ahead and, you know, the Whigger men, the Anglo-Mestizo men would die at their own hand or at the hands of others. Essentially, they were the worst white trash family in the entire Boone County, West Virginia. And this one skank who, they were violent mamzers here. And that's what you have in this country. You have more and more mongrelization, and that's what happened in Zog Babylon the First. You know what I mean? You had mongrelization. You have it now in this country. And, you know, in many cases, what I see is I see fewer and fewer actual white people, and since there's fewer and fewer actual white people, there's a lower grade of Anglo-Mestizo running around. You're not going to have a white civilization. It's not going to stand here. And Covington is absolutely right when he says that sooner or later, essentially, there's not going to be a coast-to-coast Zog Babylon. And I think it's going to happen pretty soon. You're going to have people, everyone's going to go their own way here. And that's why I'm talking about the 10,000 warlords, because I'm not talking about building anything. I'm talking about essentially trying to survive the time ahead and looking after yourself and your family first. You know what I mean? This white nationalist movement has been nothing but failure here. Now, what Covington's trying to do in his last podcast is sort of like his New Year resolution. He's trying to essentially form headquarters units. He's trying to essentially get... You know, and he has what? Oh, from what I gather, about probably 4 or 5 times the number of people who are listening here. Well, folks, this month here is that every month, I mean, let's see here. I had a number of, quote, unique visitors here, and I'm getting more and more people listening in as the time goes on, because people are looking for some sort of answers. You know what I mean? They're getting frantic for it. You have white people looking for, you have white people and Anglo-Mestizos looking for leadership. You know, I mean, please sort of tell us what to do, as long as we don't have to do something too hard. We don't have to get in trouble. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do that. And Covington is doing the same thing here. He has, I think he has the best podcast in the movement. I've gone ahead and most of these podcasts essentially consist of Whiggers and Anglo-Mestizos going ahead and getting on, say, Truth Militia or the Whigger Voice or Countercurrents or Voice of Retards. And essentially, once they've gone ahead and shot their wad, they're pretty well done for. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, anyway. I'm looking at...
Hey, Martin, listen, it's getting pretty late. If you're going to do another segment, I think I'm going to bail.
Okay, well, that may be a thing to do. Why don't you, if you want, go ahead and take a... We'll go ahead and take a break. Tomorrow, you know, let's go ahead and talk about your show tomorrow night. You have some stuff to do.
I posted the chat room. I'm having a show at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. 8 o'clock Eastern tomorrow night, and instead of doing a 5-hour show like I normally do, I've got to get up early and help my family, and I've got to drive them somewhere. So I'll have to actually leave where I do my show at my house, I'll have to actually leave early. So I'm probably only going to have like an hour and a half scripture study. If you want to call in after about an hour, if you want to actually stay longer, I'll leave the chat room up.
I might not. Let's see. I don't see having anybody else call in except maybe Russ or something. What we might decide to do is we might decide to go ahead and do a Jasher/Genesis or Jasher/Exodus show. You know what I mean? And pretty well cover, I think, 91 chapters of Jasher, but also cover the Bible at the same time. You understand what I'm saying? Right?
Yeah.
So we might do that here, or essentially, do you have any conspiracy theory or anything like that?
I mean, basically, I want to finish the book of Adam and Eve, okay? But I don't mind if you want to start doing a comparison of Jasher, like next week, we could do that.
Yeah, we can do that here, or folks, this is Talk Shoe. It doesn't have to be 5 hours, it doesn't have to be 2 hours, it doesn't have to be 1 hour. It can be a half hour, it can be 15 minutes, it can be whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, that's why I like my Talk Shoe. This is not really serious radio. You know, this is essentially enjoying yourself, having a nice enough time. Pretty well talking about what's going on in the movement. Now, outside of Axis Sally, I didn't hear about Axis Sally for a while until I, you know, got on this here. And essentially the main thing is at this time last week, everybody was wondering what the hell Obongo was going to do. And essentially Obongo went ahead and shot his little wad. You know what I mean? And some of it's serious, but essentially, it's not as serious because it's taught people, Uyghurs, to be disobedient. You end up having Uyghurs pretty well saying, well, fuck you, Obongo, we're not going to obey your laws, and we're actually going to try to send federal agents to prison if they try to enforce your laws here. And essentially, this is serious. This is serious, fuck you, Obongo. This is serious, fuck you, Zog. You know what I mean? I think you end up having a visible fracture between Zog and essentially, you know, I mean, you have a serious fracture here. And I was looking on this thing on PBS to where in 2008 when Obongo won, you had old Newt and you had all the big brains which went to this restaurant in Washington. And essentially, they said, well, what the fuck are we going to do now? And essentially, what boiled down to is that, well, we're just going to cause trouble for Obongo to keep him from being reelected. And essentially, yes, they got their ass whipped, but they got their ass whipped by picking a piece of shit establishment Republican who, what, only, what, a third of the rank and file wanted to begin the first place? And essentially, he lost, and he was meant to lose. So essentially, now the Republicans are figuring out what to do to stay relevant, and you have some, well, we need to go ahead and bring in the beaners. Well, essentially, that's not working out too good. And essentially, it's not only not working out too good, you have Obongo talking about essentially de facto executive order amnestying, you know, all these damn beaners, and you're talking about him executive order amnestying or, you know, doing away with the Second Amendment. And, folks, that's not going to happen here. So you have all these Uyghurs, they want what they want. They want white people. They want productive people to be disarmed so that they can live off of white people. And the problem of it is that, shoot, Uyghurs can no longer provide for themselves. So we're coming up to the end to where there's going to be a crack up here. You understand what I'm saying? And folks, they're talking about a big financial cliff to fall over, you know, in March, and how Obongo needs the Republicans. And essentially what he's done is he's just sort of pissed and shit all over them. You know what I mean? He's gone ahead and flexed his little monkoid muscles here, but I think he shot his wad. I think Obongo has shot his little wad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and basically, if the Jews decided, you know, they can actually even do this. If they decided they wanted to yank the plug on him and let Biden take over, they could go ahead.
Well, what difference does it make? What difference does it make?
Somebody said John Roberts, Chief Justice John Roberts, was going to allow something in court to prove that.
Oh, he's been promising that for 4 years. What the fuck did he do last year? Obamacare is a tax. Obamacare is constitutional. No, it wasn't. I mean, essentially, you know, don't rely on a piece of, you know, don't rely on a fucking lawyer like John Roberts. You know, he fucked you last June here. I mean, you know, look, I gotta say to these idiots here, aren't your bungholes, you know, your bunghole still has healed where you don't remember what he did? What he did? Obamacare is the law of the land? Well, shit, if it's a tax here, guess what? You're the House of Representatives. Guess what? You raise the taxes. How much taxes are you going to raise for Obamacare? I got a real good idea. None. You know what I mean? We have a polarized electorate here to where essentially the Northeast Whiggers and a bunch of niggers and liberals and Jews want to force white people what to do, but the problem of it is these critters don't produce nothing. Essentially, if white people say, fuck you, we're not going to obey, guess what happens? You know what I mean? Guess what happens? And essentially, no, you know, I mean, all these people are talking about Zog Babylon being efficient here, as if it's Nazi Germany. It's not efficient. Hell, it's not even efficient as Stalinist Russia. And essentially what you have is you have...
Not that Germany was a hell of a lot more efficient than Russia or pretty much any other white country that's ever...
Well, it's not Nazi Germany. It's not even Stalinist Russia. I mean, essentially, it's Obongo's America. I mean, essentially, where you have Jews and muds and liberals...
Everything Obongo's doing, he's helping the Rothschilds dismantle and destroy... I mean, America was pretty much fucked up way beyond repair with George Bush, but...
Well, he's fucking up some more, but guess what?
A thousand times worse. Obama made it to where, I mean, there is basically nothing left to salvage. And so, you know, the only thing left, Martin, okay, is there's no jobs, there's going to be no homes for these people, and there's going to be no, they could starve them very easily, they're all on food stamps or welfare. I mean, the only thing left, if there's not going to be a mass extermination by some kind of nuclear or biological war, the only thing left is to start civil unrest and start a race war or something. I mean, that's the only thing left for the Jews to do. They've got to kill out the majority of the population some way, somehow.
Yeah, well, you know, you can, you know, I mean, you know, niggers are more Jew aware than most Whiggers are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you have everybody going their own damn way here. You don't have any ability to do anything, you know, in a unified manner. Increasingly, to be honest with you, I didn't give a shit. I told people a month ago. There was, you know, how many of our kind of people were shot in Newtown?
Well, I think most of them were Mongrels, weren't you?
Well, there weren't any of our kind of people. I mean, essentially, you know, Whigger, you go ahead and you live in you're not safe anymore, Whigger. I mean, you know, how many of our kind of people were shot in Aurora, you know, Colorado? How many of our kind of people were shot? None. You know what I mean? How many of our kind of people were shot in fucking Tucson?
Yeah, none.
None. So who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? I don't give a shit. I sort of laughed my head off, in fact. I sort of laughed my head off here when I heard about this podcast getting their brain scrambled.
All these niggers are asking to die, Martin. So
yeah, they want to die. Well, give them what they want. Or don't give them what they want. Just let them have whatever they want. Don't worry about it. There ain't a damn thing you can do about it. There ain't a damn thing I can do about it. There ain't a damn thing I'm going to do about it. Understand, you know, right?
I mean, look, it's not like you or I are going to get into power and take over America tomorrow and become president, and we're going to be able to...
Hell, I can't even run for fucking sheriff. Now, I did go... Tuesday, I did go, and I did file to be mayor of Granby, you know, and I did file to run for a school board. Now, I'm not going to win election for mayor of Granby, and I'm not going to win election for school board. And I might get kicked off here, you know, because these cocksuckers from the Missouri Department of Revenue may kick me off. We'll see. I mean, essentially, I ran just to go ahead and cause some trouble. That's the only damn reason I ran. It ain't like I'm going to get elected, right?
Yeah.
Okay? Unless shit is very, very fucked up. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't worry about this stupid crap. It's you know, I mean, essentially what you do is you keep on the fighting, you keep on the struggle, and essentially it's not like you're going to win.
Basically, you gotta prepare for you and your own household. You can't save the white race.
No.
And you're not gonna save America, and you're lucky if you save yourself and your loved ones.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right. Look after yourself first. Get your own shit together first. You know what I mean? That's why I told people for what? Close to 3 years now. Simply, you need to worry about yourself. You need to get in close to Yahweh. You need to worry about yourself. And if your wigger relatives here, essentially, they want to squeeze out nigger babies or beaner babies or, you know, marry Jews or do whatever, I mean, there ain't a damn thing you can do about that. You can't blame the Jews because your Quaker brother is a piece of shit. Can you? Well, you can sort of, but, you know, I mean...
I mean, basically, I blame Quaker parents if they don't raise their children right, but I can't blame the Jews for being devils or the niggers for being niggers. Or, you know, I mean...
They are what they are. They are what they are. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
To me, I go ahead and listen to Elier, I listen to Finkelschini, and what comes down to it is there's nothing really going on, real fight. It's just a fight between a Sephardic Jew and an Ashkenazi Jew. You know what I mean? And Jews can't get along together with each other. Jews hate one another. You know, I mean, hell, you know, they're spawn of Satan. They're born evil. You know, I mean, if there were no white people tomorrow, the Jews would kill and eat one another. You know what I mean? So, essentially what we have nothing but chaos going on. And to worry about chaos here, I mean, I sort of like the chaos. I like knowing that Zog Babylon is doomed. It's going to be fucked up. I mean, it's done away with. I mean, all the people I really know, as they look at the Great Tribulation as good news, it's the gospel, it's going to go ahead and essentially the evil people are going to destroy themselves, and then Yahweh will come, and essentially Yeshua will come and save us here. He'll save the remnant. And that's who I'm mainly talking to is the remnant. Okay?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
And just because there might be some minor doctrinal differences, you know, between you and me or me and, you know, Buddy Tucker or whatever here, I mean...
Well, okay, here's the thing with Buddy Tucker.
Well...
I don't have an accent. I mean, okay, basically, Mark is this, okay? I have a problem with someone he teaches. He didn't really listen. Okay, he's not going to change. I mean, he's not going to listen to me or you, even if we can prove, basically, some of what he believes may not be correct. He's set in his ways, so I'm not going to argue with him. If he wants to call on my show, we'll talk
about it. Well, he's going to call on your show here. I mean, you know.
Certain subjects, that we can't agree on. I mean, there's no point in arguing with.
Well, I'm going to give a week or two, and, you know, I mean, heck, you know, I mean, to be honest with you, I disagree with Buddy. But on the other hand, I really like the man. I really like the man, and And on the other hand, I mean, shoot, some of what he says makes some sense, and the others I'm not going to agree with here. And I know that going in here. I mean, essentially you got to be, in some ways I'm open-minded, in some ways I'm just closed-minded about certain things, and essentially, I really do like Buddy. I really like him here. I mean, he sounds a good deal. He sounds a good deal, like a real good friend of mine, Jim Floyd here. And essentially, I really like, talking to him here. And when I go ahead and talk to him, I have a conversation, I end up going, we end up going a number of places here, and, Buddy does, Buddy has thought out what he has to say here. And essentially, it does stick to what he has to say here in his own mind here. Now, he wants to go ahead and call it re-resurrection here, rather than reincarnation here, and it doesn't matter how you call it here, it's about the same thing. And, I do have some disagreements here, and I was listening to Jeremy Visser, and I was listening to, to Obi Gender Bender, and essentially, I would say that, them two worthless bastards are far more in agreement with you and me than they are with Buddy here. But on the other hand, I do want to go ahead and essentially, to me, essentially, if you are white, and you do belong, then essentially, it doesn't really matter what you think here. I mean, not everybody is going to be right here. And I don't think Yahweh is going to sentence you to death here because you saw something which wasn't exactly correct. So, in any case here, I really did like talking to Buddy here. But, in any case, tomorrow at 7 o'clock your show is, and, if you want to go ahead and talk about, what goes on, some more after, tomorrow here.
I'm going to continue to watch books, and, the book about me we haven't finished, and, if you want to call in, I'm going to do that at least an hour if you want to call in.
Well, we'll see. Well,
I can't do a 5-hour show. It's only gonna be about, I can't stay on.
Well, you gotta get certain things done here, so maybe we'll just have a 2-hour show. We'll see, okay?
Yeah. Right.
All righty, well, I'll see you tomorrow then, Logan. You have a good one.
Hail victory.
All right, folks, we're gonna go ahead and take about a 5-minute break and we will be back. Hail victory.
Earth to Mars lander report status, please.
Mars lander here. Gravity device status effective. Oxygen status 98%.
Any sign of habitation?
Not so much as a... Whoa there, horsey. What the?
Cute. What is it?
Oh, it's cute, all right. It couldn't be.
Mars lander, what's happening up there?
Your heart. something I want you to have.
Oh, it's beautiful. But wait a minute, isn't this?
Yeah, yes it is.
But I thought the old lady dropped it into the ocean in the air.
Well, baby, I went down and got it for you.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
Okay, folks, we're back. We got all sorts of people listening to Movement Turd, including this Jew boy named Schwartz, who I call Schwartz. I mean, he was bitching about me cutting the fart here. Well, folks, I had to go ahead and fill an asparagus jar here full of Dos Linstas, premium bottled urine beverage here, or asparagus fertilizer here. So, if essentially you heard something you didn't like, worse, well, so be it. Anyway, okay. Well, alrighty. Well, so Andy, what if you want to call in about Axe of Sally, that's fine with me. Or if you don't, that's fine with me. I'll listen to it myself here. I mean, shoot. maybe she's taking too much steroids. I don't know. You got to wonder. I go ahead and see her pictures here. And essentially, some of it, she got her all dark here as if she's, sort of like a turkey leg. A turkey leg that's been out too dang long. You know what I mean? It's been baked here and dried out under the heat lamp or something like that. And I look at some of the wild muscles. She used to be pretty cute here, but shoot, I think she's gone on steroids or something here. She's uglified here. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'll go ahead and listen to what she has to say here. I haven't been paying too much attention to what's going on in the movement, other than occasionally the Pisser Possum show a little bit here, and sometimes Eli or James. Essentially Finkelschini and Brian Rio going ass to mouth with each other on the Hitler Adoration Channel over on Saturday nights here. I mean, I haven't listened to much of that stupid shit here. I mean, old Bruce Gorman, he's trying to get with old Jeremy Visser and the rest here. So essentially you have in the wandering mamsers of Wikipedia Talks to UCI, you have Eli or James. Eli or James was on the Pisser Possum show last night. And he was listening for a while. The Pisser Possum was initially censoring all the guests here, blocking all the guests. And then at the last here, went ahead and blocked a few people who were making fun of Visser when he went ahead and paid attention to it. But, luckily I have, two or three computers. And eventually, Visser will essentially end up allowing a number of things to happen. Dan Johns, I was tempted to troll him, but I decided not to. I had him on compact number one. So, pretty much, our wonderful bowel movement is just screwed up. And you shouldn't rely on anyone to stay consistent. Now, I think I've stayed consistent over close to 3 years. And pretty well, I started out making fun of Visser and what a criminal, you know, criminal the critter was. And pretty well, I've had a number of, I mean, folks, if you're going to rely on, oh, you know, pretty much, now, well, Covington's been consistent. I've been consistent. But, you know, if you're on the bowel movement to provide anything other than entertainment, then you're really leaning on a rather weak reed. And, you know, as long as you understand the limitations of whoever is in, you know, now, to be honest with you, Harold got a real girly girl. Got this Olivia woman, and, you know, and she is, you know, somewhat Christian identity, I remember from, podcast. I hope she's staying away from Steve Elder, Commandor McFag, Ceramic Metal Bowl, whatever the hell this idiot calls himself here. I'm quite sure he's looking for pussy number two here. But any case, no. I mean, you pretty well work with what you got in the movement. And if you expect a good deal, you expect more than what they have to give, you're going to be disappointed. This is not the time really to build anything other than your stocks of food, not your ammunition anymore. Around here, they were bitching, you know, some of the pig department were bitching that usually they buy their ammunition supply for the year in January. And folks, there was no ammunition to be found here. I had a friend of mine, he was saying is that the only ammunition you could find is match grade 30-06 ammunition, $32 for 20 rounds. Match grade ammunition for, you know, competition shooting your M1 Garand. So, hell, I mean, you know, you have these idiots, you know, talking about, you know, Senator Chris Michael or whatever he is, some ass clown, some, you know, Anglo Caesar ass clown from Connecticut. And essentially, from what I gather, well, I think Colt and whatever are based in what, you know, Connecticut as well here. And I guess they want to sell guns or manufacture guns, but they don't want people actually having them. I mean, I got to laugh, is that one of the most anti-gun states in the Union ended up, you know, being shot here. Oh, by the way, now old Piers Morgan, the hybrid nigger, got a nigger on there, and essentially the nigger's from Chicago. What good does gun laws do? Larry Elder, radio host The Larry Elder Show. And I guess he's going to talk about, well, violent niggers in Chicago here. Folks, people are scared shitless. They're scared shitless to give up their guns. No, I mean, they're scared the niggers. I mean, I had people when, you know, way back in 1994, I'd have libertines and old ladies here. Martin, what are we going to do when the niggers come out of Kansas City, Springfield, St. Louis to kill and eat us and take our guns? And I said, well, shoot, don't worry. I mean, the niggers will run out of steam by the time out of Springfield, by the time they hit Willard. Hopefully they'll kill and eat John Ashcroft. Or Harrisonville, out of Kansas City. Or by the time they hit Sullivan in St. Louis. I mean, folks, I think people are going to treat a nigger or beaner mass invasion like a zombie one here. That's why I think people like watching zombie flicks here. By the way, February 3rd, the weekend of February 3rd, they start out Saturday. They got three seasons now of The Walking Dead here. So if you want to go ahead and catch up, it starts at, 2:30? And it goes on, Saturday and then Sunday, the new season starts or something like that. If you want to catch up on VHS tape here and record, you can. Okay? So, I'm sort of looking at this here. I think it's real good to have, lots and lots and lots of guns. You know what I mean? Okay? Well, this was nuts. sometimes I listen to this here and I'm wondering here, what the hell is he smoking? Is he smoking the nigger weed here, in which case he's sort of mellow? Or has he gone ahead and mixed some of it up with his meth here? In which case, he's just maniac as crazy. Early on, I seen it. He went ahead and created a sock puppet called Emily Baldwin. And went ahead and, wrote one of his little pisser possum turds on my, on the page here. So I went ahead and I took a screenshot of it, then I deleted his comment. So you got to only leave that on there. And Visceral's called me a chomo here. It's Emily _ Baldwin. So I said, bye bye, fake fat ass. and muted Emily _ Baldwin here. So that was fun here. We had Visceral on tonight. And This is just an evil little malignant pisser possum. That's all it is here. It's just an evil little, malignant pisser possum. I mean, I don't even take the critter serious anymore. I mean, why bother to take the critter serious? It's sort of like the news kite show. I don't know. I don't know how long I'm going to have my little boycott of, calling in to the news kike show. Essentially what the news kike does, he goes ahead and yaks for about, 45 minutes, and then he gets desperate here, and then he ends up having that epileptic, retarded, Jew boy faggot, the intern, call in, and they go ass to mouth for each other. Sometimes they have Mongoloid Davis or something like that. They had Mongoloid Davis last night here. So, how do you take Nimbusters seriously? I went to the Nimbusters forum the other day here, but I didn't see anything about me on there, and I didn't really dig into the pages. I may go ahead and look again here. But, you don't take any of this stupid shit too seriously here. I went ahead and clicked old cousin Randy Turner's horseshit, and I guess some people went ahead and seen what was said, and they said they were NRA members, and they weren't going to let, anybody take their guns, and essentially, it looks like old cousin Randy got wolf-packed there for a while. But I go ahead and I listen to these characters here, Piers Morgan, Cousin Randy, and these people actually think the Whiggers are going to obey whatever the nigger science's executive order, even though, and they're saying, I mean, it's sort of like, I don't know if you ever seen Mars Attack here. It was, this was about 20 years ago or so. Essentially, you had a bunch of Martians here, and they had, brains sort of like Jell-O here, and if you went ahead and played Slim Whitman's Uno Paloma Blanco would go ahead and set up a reverberation and blow their brains, blow their Jell-O-like brains out here. Uno Paloma Blanco! And, essentially the entire time they would say, we come in peace, we come in peace, and they go ahead and burn all these Whiggers down here. Yeah, when they first came here. So Mars attacked here. And it was a hilarious film here. It was sort of funny here, but these Mars, we come in peace, and then, you know, we come in peace, and then you go ahead and, you know, nuke all these Uyghurs or whatever here, you know, in tanks or something, with their flamethrower laser beams or whatever. And folks, that's the same dang thing here. We're not out to do away with the Second Amendment. Well, the fuck you're not. The fuck you're not. The problem, you know, the cousin Randy and the cousin, you know, problem that none of these tards seems to realize is that essentially you've gone ahead and let the Jews steal everything that they can to where they have trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars here. I mean, you have a recession that's never going to end. They're looking for any little excuse to hear to where they have maybe a little bit of economic activity. But essentially, they're relying on Uyghurs who no longer have jobs to pay taxes and do the rest of the stuff here. Social Security, you know, thanks to essentially to where they weren't paying into Social Security, they weren't paying the payroll taxes, and that way they had changed. I mean, they're talking about Medicare essentially going bankrupt to where, you know, their little IOU is going to be gone in about, what, 3 years or so. You know, by 4 years, 2017? I mean, folks are talking about, I mean, what they're doing is that Obongo is trying to talk about stuff like, you know, making a platinum coin here, a platinum coin. I don't know how much platinum it'd be, but it'd be for $1 trillion. Well, folks, that's the same as just printing money. That's exactly what the hell it's, you know, the same as doing here. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about printing money. Okay, well, say you go ahead and do print the money. Then what? I mean, do you think the niggers are going to be quiescent here if they get, what, $2,000 in BET funds here? And guess what? With the $2,000, they can buy one pack of cigarettes or a loaf of bread? How's that going to go ahead? I mean, if you're going to go ahead and take Uyghur's guns away from them, how are you going to make Uyghur go ahead and go to work? If Uyghur, it costs, what, $15 a gallon for gas here, how's Uyghur going to be able to afford to go to work? How's anybody going to be able to, you know, be able to conduct economic activity? And the answer is they're not. They're not. So you have all these people, and they're worried, and they're screeching, and they're hollering, and they're pissing, and they're moaning, and you got to wonder, are any of you people for real? Do any of you people have any idea of what the hell you're talking about? Do any of you people know anything? I mean, what do you intend to accomplish? I mean, I would think that would be a valid question. What do you intend to accomplish, Uyghurs? Well, I don't know. Someone was saying something about her going lesbian or something like that here. I thought she had some guy named Frank here that she was sweet on. So, I don't know. I'm going to have to listen to Axis Sally Raw. You know what I mean? But she was saying that Covington paid her, and her big fight with Covington was he censored her or something like that, and that might very well be true. I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, I do not get on Covington's forums or blogs, because I don't want to fight on Covington's forums or blogs with the like of Steve Elder, a.k.a. Commander McFag, or anybody else here. I mean, if I don't get on his forums or blogs, I'm not likely to fight with some of his tards that I don't like. So if Covington, he comes to every so often, will ask me a question, I'll give him an answer here. I'll give him the way I see it. So I get along with him just fine here. I mean, You know, I mean, I was sort of laughing. In that, you know, I was looking over at Four Fags Thebes here. Four Fags Thebes here got a massive hack attack or something here. And I was looking, you know, maybe Kane was sort of, you know, Kane was sort of gloating about how he may have had something to do with it, you know, with screwing up their database. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, dear. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure if Kane could, he would. Let me, you know, I'll go ahead and look at the, you know, the quote real four here. But let's see here. You know, okay, here. Let's see here. Well, I was looking at that here. I don't know if old Kane is, you know, I thought Kane was sort of, you know, Kane 1-2-3-4-5-6-6-6 was saying that he somehow screwed up Four Fags Thebes here. But I was looking at the Four Fags Thebes thread about great moments in the history of the bowel movement. And from what I gather, you know, Hadding has been such a total dweeb here that he's run off here. For what? Since September? And Wiggersville has gotten a whole bunch of people asking him questions. But what was funny is that this one guy asked Wiggersville, okay, Wiggersville, I bet you haven't gotten any money from Covington. Go ahead and show me where you actually got some money from Covington here. Show me that there's a court of competent jurisdiction. And from what I gather, Wiggersville put up a bunch of, you know, their image sack programs, and he couldn't show anywhere where he got any money from any judge against Covington. All it boiled down to is that, you know, from my gather, he was claiming that, you know, he always claimed that Covington said he was, you know, Wiggersville Williams, or Wiggersville Wheelos Williams, was John Doe number 3 or anything like that. He went ahead, and this guy challenged him. And I didn't see a dang thing about it. Essentially, it was about something stupid crap about how Wiggersville had gone ahead and stolen William Pierce's mailing list or something like that here. And essentially what boiled down to is Covington said, I'm not even going to defend this shit. So they went ahead and ruled against him. But I don't see any evidence that, you know, that Wiggersville was giving any money. Essentially, Covington was told, be nice on the internet. Don't say anything bad about Wiggersville. And from what I gather, about a year later in 1999, I guess Covington didn't pay attention to what Wake County Circuit Court, you know, in North Carolina said. And essentially, if he's stupid enough to be caught, you know, he's going to have to eat bologna sandwiches for 30 days. I don't think that writ is very good. And essentially, people are making fun of Wiggersville, saying, well, yeah, you know, no, you must have lied here. I mean, where's these hundred thousands of dollars here that you got from Covington? Don't say a dang thing about getting a nickel out of Covington, much less, you know, $100,000 or $200,000. All it says is something is that he's gonna have to spend 30 days in jail for contempt of court because he wrote something on the internet, you know, and you gotta wonder, does Wake County, North Carolina District Court actually have any jurisdictional, any jurisdiction over what somebody says on the internet? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. So essentially, folks, you end up working with some people here and it doesn't work out, and sometimes they can turn sort of mean on you. I'll go ahead and listen to myself here, what Axis Sally has to say. Andy says it's sort of weird. You know what I mean? Let's see. Okay. Oh, about the 787. From what I gather, they got a high electronic, you know, everything on the Dreamliner is run by electronics instead of hydraulics, okay? Well, the problem with that here is that if you end up having a bunch of vibration, you end up having a bunch of other things here. Folks, there are at least a million different parts on a commercial aircraft, at least. And you end up having electronic issues here. Something goes wrong here. I guess you can end up having a bunch of fires or something like that here. So from what I gather, they end up having a bunch of them. So maybe it's all affecting the same wiring at the same time here. So as a result, they've gone ahead and grounded the 787 here. You know what I mean? Okay. You know, get a haircut, Marty. Sound like a dim buster tard here. Don't sound like pisser possum here. Yeah. Let's see here. Well, this is a Mamzer here. He's not only a Mamzer, he's a Melungeon here. Let's see here. Oh, has he? Oh, my stuff's been talking a lot of shit in Visser's purgatory section here. Well, maybe I need to get a sock possum in to do it here. You know what I mean? Andy says that accessory thing was the strangest thing I heard in a while. Okay. Oh, you got nothing to add to it? Okay. Well, that's all right then. Okay. That's listed. Okay. Here. Oh, audio's gone here. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we will be back, maybe. Hail victory.
Stonemason does all the work. The barber can give. take you out to lunch now, but I just want to play on my panpipe. I just want to drink me some wine. As soon as you're born, you start dying. So you might as well have a good time. Oh no, sheep go to heaven, goats go to hell. Sheep go to heaven, goats go to hell.
Well, it took me a while to notice that I was, hung up. Okay, here. Let's see. Well, I'm looking at the chat here. In case, I don't know. I sort of think that I've pretty well. Let me see here. Looks like old Papa Cat what he had left here. Anyway, who knows? Anyway, folks, I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. You know, I'm sort of curious as to what Axis Sally has to say, and since Andy doesn't have anything to add to it, and that's probably usually the best here. I mean, if somebody is going to make a clown of himself, the best thing you can do is to let them. And I have no idea. I went ahead and I looked at her blog, and she don't have her blog up. Doesn't intend to have her blog up. So essentially, I don't know. When you've been in the bowel movement as long as I have, and essentially it was after Waco, so it's close to 20 years I've been in the bowel movement. And, you know, what, 1995 here, so close to 18 years on the internet. When you've been in the quote movement as long as I have, you have people that come in and they wax here for a while, and then they do something or they just simply disappear. And many cases here, you know, there's names here, and I go ahead and look at, sometimes I look at my old archives, and there are people who have not been here for a long, 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 long time here. And essentially, you know, it's a big deal when they disappear, but after a year or so, it's as if they never were around here at all. And that's what I found to be the case in the movement here. When it comes down to it, our bowel movement is really, 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 really small. Really, when it comes down to it. I mean, I've gone ahead and pointed out that you may have, like Chris and Adanti here. Herbert's Church and the rest here, you'll have millions of people exposed to it. How many actual ministers are there? You know, and so like the movement here. You'll have a big old population numbering in the millions. But then people who are really sticking with it here are numbered in thousands. The ones who essentially have any part, even a local part, are in the hundreds. And then when you're talking about people who are actually doing something, it's numbered in the less than a dozens here. You know what I mean? And what I guess makes you sort of important to where people are listening to you, you know, in the case of this show here, it's not because I have a really, really, really good speaking voice. I have a pretty good singing voice, but a really good speaking voice. you know, it's there's not a lot, you know, there's not a lot, to what I say or what I have to say. There really isn't. Not an awful lot. Now, what I might do is I might go ahead and, you know, have Logan do a show and then work on a Jasher and Genesis thingamajig here. But I've fallen behind on my compere on Tuesday nights. I really have. Need to go ahead and get that up and running. But, no, I mean, yeah, people, they come and they go and you never hear from them again at all. And, you know, what do you say? Now, what I wanted to go ahead and essentially talk before the fact the Sally thing came up, and I am curious, and I am going to listen to it tonight. But, no, I mean, does anybody really expect much of anything, you know, new in the movement or in Zog or anything like that here? What I had talked about, and I tell you what I talked about, is that essentially, you know, I sort of think this Newtown thing here, you have this Jew here, Abe Foxman. He is flipping his little kike wig over essentially white people, going ahead and saying that Newtown, Connecticut, you have Newtown truthers now. Essentially, they're saying that, you know, they believe the Mossad did it, that the Jews did it. The same as 9/11. Same as Oklahoma City. I mean, every time something goes on, you end up having the media, you end up having the rest here, and essentially the media are not believed here. You end up having people like Piers Morgan essentially making a clown out of himself, making a buffoon out of himself. And folks, there's no really strong purpose, you know, look at it. How many strong, how many upright, how many strong and upright bastions of Zog power are there? Military? No. It's been worn out in Afghanistan. And one thing that was, you know, they were bringing up here is that essentially you have more people in the military shooting themselves dead because of what they've seen and what they did over in Afghanistan than you have actual ragheads killing jupes in Afghanistan. Now, of course, what has ended up happening is that we've pretty well given up trying to train Afghan, you know, troops here, as they call it, green on blue violence, to where essentially we can't trust any of these people because the Taliban have pretty well finished off what we intend to do by training jupes to resist the Taliban. In fact, what the Taliban did is infiltrated their fanatics to where they're shooting, you know, critters down here. Old Piers Morgan, hybrid nigger. Tomorrow is Charlie Sheen. Well, hell, Charlie Sheen is old news here. I mean, Charlie Sheen is old news. He was going nutsoid last year, right? I mean, he's so 2011 here. And they're already talking. They were talking far more about what? Lance Armstrong? Some character who essentially doped him up with steroids and got testicular cancer and had to have his nuts cut off. I mean, you know, that may have happened to Axel Sally. Shit, along with the muscles, she may end up having a clitoris here longer, you know, longer than most people's pecker. You know what I mean? Maybe that's why she's acting goofy here. Who knows? here she's talking about taking a whole bunch of protein supplements. And essentially she's talking about having to get healthy by essentially going off taking all this weird stuff here. I don't think looking like, you know, I mean, I don't think looking like you have muscles, you know, that belong on a Thanksgiving turkey that's been out of the sun lamp too long, you know, especially having muscles colored, you know, the way you are looking like a nigger, I don't think that's particularly sexy here. You know, on the other hand, it doesn't really matter what I think here. I don't imagine Axel Sally has consulted me. In fact, she hasn't. But I don't know. I mean, some of this stuff is not very healthy. So what, in many cases, what you need to do, and that's what Covington, I think, is saying, is that you need to go, now that he's finished his Freedom Sons novel, or your Freedom Sons, he needs to go ahead and get back to basics here and work on getting things done here. And it may not be fast enough to suit him. But folks, in many cases, what you have, and no evolutionary really can tell when you're when your Lexington or Concord or your Bastille or your Black Sunday in 1905, nobody can tell when the revolution, which has been sitting just waiting to spark up, is going to spark up here. I mean, the father, you know, the father of revolution is injustice. And folks, we have lots of injustice toward white people. Essentially, it's unjust to essentially take money out of the mouths of white people to give to niggers and beaners. It's unjust. It's unjust to go ahead and take money out of the mouths of white children to give to Jews so that they can go ahead and be evil kikes here in the land that they don't really will ever own here, because essentially they're Canaanites kikes here who, you know, don't belong. You know, they're not Israelites, they're Jews. I mean, folks, it's not, you know, none of this stuff is right here. And essentially it's not going to last here, because essentially there's not very many people, white people, left to produce it anymore. Folks, I think if you looked at the actual condition of Zog Babylon, it would be in very, very, very bad shape here. Very bad shape. And essentially, maybe it's being held by, you know, not even bailing gum and chewing gum and bailing wire. You end up having, essentially in Chicago, you end up having a Jew mayor who essentially can't, you know, has one of the strictest gun laws in the nation, and the Jew mayor can't keep niggers from having illegal guns and shooting one another. So what the niggers do, they go to some downstate gun store and bitch about how all these guns have been sold to niggers who go ahead and then shoot one another. It's been sold to straw buyers here. Well, folks, you're not supposed to run guns to criminals. There's already a law against that. And essentially what you have is that you are having, with Obongo's nonsense, essentially you are having figures decide that, you know, they can't go ahead and they're not going to compromise any further. I'm listening to these idiots. Why can't we have a national debate about this? Well, folks, I'm not going to be invited to national debate. If I was invited to national debate, I'd say, why are you taking away guns from white people? Well, it's niggers mainly killing niggers. It's screwed up Jews which are scrambling the brains of Jew Congress critters and shooting federal judges and shooting niggers and wiggers and the rest here in a movie theater, and going ahead some, you know, Sicilian Jew boy shooting its mudshark mother, prepper, stealing your gun. And didn't any of you people have enough sense to go ahead and instead of using glass, go ahead and have wire glass so that essentially once he went in and shot out the glass, he couldn't just open up the door and then go ahead and go shooting? Here's some more stupid shit. They're talking about how they're going to go ahead and bulldoze the elementary school. Oh, why? Why? I mean, shoot, just mop up the blood and reset, you know. You might go ahead and close down the actual classrooms, you know, or you might go ahead and use them for storage or something like that. But, you know, the idiots who talk about essentially shutting down, you know, bulldozing down or doing whatever to a building, you know, to a building that essentially is still, you know, I look at the school building, it looks like a, you know, pretty well-built, you know, brick schoolhouse here. Why tear it down? If you're worried about it, just simply switch classes or something like that, or essentially put a trailer in for the extra students or whatever, or just simply leave it be. But folks, there's a lot of people. I mean, I've heard that 4 days before the shooting, they were talking about how to deal with the violence here, which means that this was altogether a Zog false flag operation here. And essentially, nobody believes Zog here. In many cases, the nigger, I think, has shot his wad, and now it's got a reaction to where we will not obey. And so, the day after, they're worrying about shit, about how some stupid athlete went ahead and used steroids and lost his nuts and how brave he was and when he was a liar and a cheat and a thief. Who gives a shit? Talking about on this She Boone show, what is his name, Oprah? Who gives a shit? How many people really gave a crap about bicycling? I didn't. I mean, if I was going to watch anything, I'd watch roller derby. At least it has chicks with, you know, big tits here in some cases. I mean, does it really matter? Let's say they all took a lot of steroids here, like Axe and Sally, and they were running around and beating the crap out of each other here at roller derby. Now, that might be sort of interesting, but then again, it might not. Who cares? You know what I mean? So, okay. Oh, Nikki. Let's see here. I'm looking at this here. Okay, yeah, Michael Burks here. Well, Michael Burks and Visser used to go ass to mouth with each other here. Visser is not only a Mamser here, he's a Zogbot too here. You know what I mean? So what happened? Nickel, she went ahead, and you don't see much of her anymore. Okay? Does he work for Zog? Well, no, I don't work for Zog. Peddle the official versions of these tragedies? Folks, I don't peddle the official version of 9/11. I believe the Jews had something to do with it. You know, they knew the Arabs were going to do it, and essentially they wanted 9/11 to happen. Oklahoma City? There's Zog false front, you know, flag operation. Pretty well, they've all been false flag. I think the Newtown more than likely was some little screwed up little Jew boy, and essentially it was all the year of false flag operation here. I think Aurora, Colorado was all the year of false flag operation. Tucson, I sort of think it was a screwed up little Jew boy who essentially went in and scrambled the brains of a Esther Kikas Congress critter. And a federal judge, and oh well. Yeah, I think that was the official story, but essentially they don't talk about how old they tried to go ahead and blame it on Jared Taylor. He's an American Renaissance scholar. No, he's a little Jew boy. And essentially Zog went ahead and hid the fact that Gabby Gifford's mother and Jewel Lee Lochner's grandmother went to the same synagogue. I mean, it's just just screwed up little Jew boys. I mean, 2012 or so was the year of, you know, well, 2011 in some cases here. But since the last couple of years, it's been the story of deranged little Jew boys who are taking, who are taking drugs here that make a percentage of them nutsoid, and they go in and they go out shooting. Bang, 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 bang. But in many cases, you got to wonder, how much does it have to do with essentially Jew boys being used as Jew subjects to do this sort of thing? And, I like hearing Abe Foxman go ahead and whine like a kike here. How dare people believe it? How dare white people believe that this is an Zog false front? Well, I think Newtown was a Zog false front. I think O'Rourke was a Zog false front. I still have my wonders about Tucson. I think that was more like just little crazy little Jew boys shooting the kikes here. I mean, but on the other hand, I mean, it's sort of funny. I sort of like to think about Congress critters being scared to meet their constituents because they might see another little Jew boy, with a gun. They will not think it's actual Zog false front. So I don't really, folks, your best bet. I mean, come on. Do any of you really have to see Batman at a premiere in Niggertown? And the answer is no. I mean, that's why I asked Logan. There's none of us who are affected really by this. At least not directly. I mean, come on. How many of us are going to go ahead and see Batman, in Niggertown and pay what, $7-$8 a ticket here and then go ahead and be shot? And the answer is none. How many of us are going to go ahead and go to a congressional rally to see your local Congress critter? Especially when you're like me here and essentially you're not really welcome there anyway. And the answer is none. I mean, folks, you ought to be minding your own damn business. You ought to be minding your own damn business here. I mean, shoot. I got a bunch of movies at Walmart I bought. I bought all the entire Harry Potter series for $2 a piece at Walmart. I still haven't got around to seeing them. This morning I was watching on Amazon Prime some, free Prime Video or something like that. I mean, folks, I just usually don't have time to watch the stupid shit. And I certainly ain't gonna watch Batman. I mean, it's stupid shit. So, folks, don't worry about any of this stupid shit here. I mean, Zog is going to fall apart regardless of what you do. Y'all stay out of it. Stay out. Don't worry too much about what's going on in the movement. I'll go ahead and look and see what I can find about it. And in any case, I do want to go ahead and listen to what Axis Sally had to say. I mean, it's probably going to be funny. It's probably going to be funnier than what I think it is here. So, just leave UFC. Okay, well, that's nice here. Folks, I mean, I don't really watch UFC myself here. I mean, but if you want to watch it, by the way, they're bitching about some hostage crisis in Algeria, and the Frogs are going after some niggers in Mali or something like that here. And I'm trying to wonder what difference does it make here? What difference does it make, folks? If you're doing anything here, you should have been buying .22 ammunition when you could over the last, 3-4 years. You should have gone ahead and bought your magazines. I mean, folks, you should quietly be preparing for the times ahead. That's what you should do. That's what you should do. In any case, folks, I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I don't see any great I don't see any great demand continue. So I'm going to go ahead and call night. I'm going to go ahead and say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi, hi, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi, hi, oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corn as long, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie, all who was then the ruling land, Kyrie, white men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out castle. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its great, aye, aye, oh, the love of God our only need, aye, aye, oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause of right, aye, aye, oh, our sons won't have to go and fight, aye, aye, oh. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow.